Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Truly, Lord God, we just bless your name, Lord, for allowing us to see another morning, oh God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, with your tender outstretched hands, Lord God, covering the face of the earth, Lord. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh, God, hallelujah, that as you begin, oh, God, to move upon us this morning, Lord, that we would follow the direction, oh, God, that you, oh, God, send us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let our discernment be sharpened even the more, Lord, to incline our ear unto you, Lord, and to hear what you have to say to us today. Oh, God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Hallelujah, that you're healing, delivering, and you're setting the captive free. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah, Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. We bless your name and we magnify you on today. Lord God, that you have forgiven us of our sins and our iniquities, our shortcomings and our downfalls. God, we ask that you continue to search us, oh God. Search us, Lord God, like never before. Continue to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, oh God. We bless you and we magnify you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. But there is no searching of a pokosaba. Lord God, hallelujah, Lord, of the understanding that you, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord, pour out upon the Lord. Lord Jesus, mankind that you have created, oh God, I thank you right now. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, let your anointing begin to flow from heaven's throne throughout this field, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, hallelujah. Lord, illuminate this line, oh God, every soul and enter in. Oh God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, stir up the hearts and minds of the people, oh God. Lord God, knowing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, as you move this morning, oh God, Lord God, those that are bound, oh God, by yokes, oh God, yokes of burdens, Lord, Lord God, yokes of the things and the cares of this world, yokes, oh God, of poverty, yokes, oh God, about guilt, yokes of unforgiveness, Lord, Lord, those things that, oh God, that have them bound, that they feel that they cannot be free, but oh God, in the name name of Jesus, we ask right now, hallelujah, that you rebuke suicide, you rebuke negativeness, you rebuke, oh God, the backbiting, oh God, Lord God, the whispering in the atmosphere, Lord, in the name of Jesus, those cantations that are being, oh God, called out by witches and warlocks, oh God, we come against it right now by the blood of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus, and oh God, hallelujah, Lord. Move this morning, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, on our visionary and mother Sydney, baby, my, baby, Lord God, oh God, in the name of Jesus, let it be a new lady fire, oh God, of anointing, Lord, that fall afresh this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord, wherever the people are calling from the north, the south, the east, the west, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, set them ablaze of a fire of anointing that through a revival in their soul, Lord God, this morning, Lord, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, move upon the administrator, Lord, and all the other kingdom leaders, oh God, right now, hallelujah, throughout the world, oh God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, and most of all, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, we ask that you move upon this nation, oh God, and the entire world, Lord, that they will continue, oh God, to seek after you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and those that are not saved, oh God, Lord God, that you will prick up their hearts, oh God, break up the fallow grounds, oh God, turn those hearts of stone to a heart of flesh, shut up, hey, glory, hallelujah, and receive ye, thus said the Lord, we praise you and we magnify you. Remember our youth and our children everywhere, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah, Lord. Raise them up, oh God. Raise them up, oh God. Raise them up, oh God, that they can be some Deborahs, can be some Samuels, that they can be some Hebrew boys. Oh God, they can be some Esthers, oh God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let them use the gifts and the talents that you have given them for your glory, Lord. And we bless you and we magnify you in the mighty, magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray. Amen and amen to the Lamb of God.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet LaRon Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Thank you for receiving me. Anybody just grateful? I know I don't deserve it, but I love this place. Here in one place, I love this place. Oh, thank you for accepting us. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for receiving me. You didn't have to, but I thank you for accepting me. Every voice tell him, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for receiving us.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to all of God's people. We thank and praise God for another
good
day.
Good morning, Mother Sydney.
Good morning, Evangelist. Well, good morning. Good morning. I tell you, that was the best, right? That was right on time. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. That was right on time. That song, I love this place. My God. Hallelujah. We just thank and praise God. Let me go on, Lord, because I could stay right there in that place. Amen. Because only God knows what we need. Amen. Continually, let me go on. Let me go on. Say good morning, good morning. Good morning to everyone up on the line. Amen. Glory to God. This is Open Forum Thursday morning. Amen. Well, you can come on this line. Amen. Ask a question, comment. Amen. Of myself, a praise report of myself, of Pastor Matthew. Glory to God. Amen. We thank and praise God for you. Amen. On the conference line, you just star 6 your line. Amen. And you can come right on in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. On the Blog Talk Radio, just press 1 on your dial. Hallelujah. And you will be brought right on in with your question or your act, your comment or praise report. I tell you, this is a blessed day. When I was, I haven't been to sleep. Have not been to sleep. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Probably dozed off for probably about 15 minutes. Amen. And I am, when I came on the line and hearing that, then this will pray. But hearing that song, I love this place. Amen. That was from Mother Sydney right there. Because as I was up, glory to God, I was telling the Lord, I was just saying, God, I need your help. I said, I need your help. Hiya, Nidioshikaya, God. I said, Lord, I need your help. Amen. I said, I need your strength on today. And, you know, Mother Sydney, I had to reach all the way back, amen, and get the song about all of my help comes from the Lord. Everything that I need, he provides. Hallelujah. I tell you, when you have a day like I've had a day, amen, glory to God, is nobody but God that can speak to you. There's nobody but God. I thank and praise God for prayer. I mean, prayer all day on Wednesday. Glory to God. Amen. That kept me energized. That kept me charged up as we spoke out. And I tell you, you pour out. Now I'm at the place that you get your prayer out. And I was just saying, Lord, I said, I need to receive just a little bit. Hallelujah. I said, I just need to receive just a little bit, Lord. And you know, God, we just provide this for us. Amen. Good morning, Pastor Matthew. Amen. We just bless
you. Happy morning, Mother.
Amen. For being here. Amen. You know, Proverbs, God give me this. Proverbs 15 and 13 talks about a merry heart. It says, a merry heart make it a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And when you talk about that merry heart, amen, I think about how today the world is turned upside down. Glory
hey,
to God. Every heart, amen, is being a heart. Let me say this. A heart is being broken every hour by divorce, by suicide, someone's lost a job, somebody's have ran away, separated, drug overdose, glory to God, fear, pain. I could go on and on and on with alcohol abuse, glory to God, sickness and death that's in the land. People are distressed. People are discontented. Amen. People are discouraged, glory to God. Everything, that type is flooding the streets. It's flooding the homes. It's flooding our communities. Everywhere you look, amen. Hallelujah. You look on the news. I'm at the ocean, Kai. You listen to the radio. You hear about sorrow. You hear about somebody's heart is being broken. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody's child have passed away in their sleep. Amen. Mother's heart is being broken. Glory to God. But one thing that came to my mind, amen, is about the true bearer. Amen. The true cross bearer, because we just got past Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Glory to God. And when you talk about a true cross bearer, amen, hallelujah, compassion, when you're talking about a true, thank you, a true cross bearer, amen, they heart, when you're taking your cross and follow Christ, they heart is a heart of compassion. If there's a Mary heart, make it the tree of a compassion, give you another NIV, glory to God. Amen. It makes a cheerful, glory to God. And so when we look in our heart, amen, when we look at a person, amen, that's a true creature out there, when you're taking up your cross, and you're in the cross, amen, for something, one time, amen, glory to God. And that is a heart. It has a heart, amen.
I think your phone going in and out, Mother. We can't hardly get you.
They have a heart of compassion. Can you hear me now? They have a heart of volume up. They have a heart of compassion. Amen. They have empathy. Amen. Towards people who are hurting. Amen. Glory to God. They feel your pain. They feel your grief. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so in this day and time that we are in, there's so much sorrow of heart. There's so much people's heart is breaking, amen. And so if you are that type of person, you have that type of spirit, amen, glory to God, of empathy, glory to God, amen, and you have a heart of compassion, amen,
okay.
Amen. Then we know, amen. Then you being useful. Amen. We need you. The people need you.
Absolutely.
They need you. Amen. That's a child of a king. Amen. They need what you have. Amen. Glory to God. And we must have that as born again believer today. We must have a heart of compassion. We must have a spirit of empathy. Amen. Glory to God. And when we move, when we move in our daily life, amen, throughout the body of Christ, amen, hallelujah, that part of compassion, amen, that spirit of empathy, amen, the world should be able to see it. They should be able to experience it. Amen. Glory to God. Because what? It is part of our lifestyle. It is part of our makeup. It is part of who we are. Amen. Glory to God. And so I just bless the Lord on this morning. Amen. For this scripture that God has given me, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And that is so true. That is so, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. But if you have, amen, your hope, amen, if you have your hope, hope, amen, in God. And if you, I hear a mother say, if you can only just grip that solid rock, take a grip onto that solid rock, and that rock is Jesus. Amen. He's the one. That rock is Jesus, amen. He will provide everything that you need. See, early this morning, like I said, Mother Sydney ain't had no strength. But as I'm allowing the Lord to flow, I'm encouraging myself. And the Leo Shekiah God, I'm encouraging myself, amen, because I have to command my atmosphere, amen, glory to God, because I'm in a new land, glory to God. I have to command my atmosphere. I have to change my atmosphere, glory to God, amen, conducive, amen, where the Spirit of God will rest at. And so we just thank you this morning, amen. That's just a little nugget, amen. Father Sydney wanted to give you all, but this is open forum this morning. You have the opportunity, amen, to ask a question of myself, Prophet Matthew, amen, a comment, a praise report. Glory to God on the conference line, the Star 6 line. Amen. And on the Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Just start. Just press 1 on your dial. Amen. And Ministry Brian will bring you right on in. Prophet Matthew, I'm going to give it to you.
Well, Mother, you're in a powerful vein there. And you can stay right there. But top of the morning, teaching and every one of you all joining us on today, we welcome you to open forum. But if you have any questions and comments for me and Mother Sydney, certainly we're the fact finder. We gather the facts and information to present to you. So if you're listening in today and there's some concerns and issues that you have, we're certainly standing here with you to address them and to receive them and to actually try to give you answers to these challenging questions and battles. Even as Mother was talking about relationships, marriages, the battle that people are having in those areas, in those arenas, to try to bring peace and resolution to them. Even some of the most difficult moments is parenting, even parenting adult people. I was dealing with a parent that had an adult person that they were dealing with. Now, this is interesting. They have an adult person in their house. And so they have their own rules. I don't know what happened concerning them losing that apartment, the place, or whatever it is. So the adult person is in their house, and so something transpired in the house, and the parent had said something to the adult person, and the first thing they said, well, you know, the way I'm grown, so that this is in their house. And they tell them that they're grown and on in the house. So certain things they don't allow. And they went on to say that we're grown. So, you know, the issue kicked off about the issue being grown. So let me start out from this one. They're living in their parent house. I don't know what happened as it relates to the living arrangement. All I do know is that they told their parent that they were grown, that they living in a house. So the parent said, well, since you're grown, then you don't need to be living in my house. So it became a controversy. Now, I came in. I'm an advisor, so I gave my advice and my opinion. I said, well, the easy way to do that, since the person is grown, they are grown, is to ask the grown person who don't want to respect your house to leave, because they are grown. They did tell you they're grown. And you can't tell a grown person what to do. But what you can do is if you're in their house, you can tell them to leave your house since they're grown and they don't want to follow your rules because they used to do what they do. That's the easy way to do that. It's so interesting how people can come in your property and then you don't do what they do. But then when you tell them something, they're telling you they're grown, not realizing cognitively You're not at your place where you're used to doing things. You're on somebody else's property, mm-hmm. especially your parents, mm-hmm. but you're saying you're grown. So you're telling them mm-hmm. you're grown. So in other words, you want to do what you want to do. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. That's just wow. a freebie for parents who just let people do their children do anything in their house or because they're afraid and they want to keep them safe. No, you got to take a stand. That's your house. If you don't,
Amen.
You don't smoke cigarettes, and you don't certain things on TV, and you don't let them just have friends coming in and out. Those are the things yeah. you do. Stick with your plan. Don't compromise yourself. And then when uh-huh. you correct them, they tell you they grown to make you feel bad. Well, Mr. Grown and Mrs. Grown, guess what? I don't know what happened to your place or your apartment, but because you don't want to follow my room, you know they got Mr. Hotel and Mrs. Hotel. So all your other uh-huh. friends, and obviously since your other friends that you were hanging out with ain't gonna let you stay in that house because they ain't gonna let you live for free. So guess what, Mr. Grown? I think you need to make an exit. How about that? Don't you get to that? Uh-huh. And don't feel bad, yeah. and especially for the church uh-huh. people, because one of the things about our kids. They'll play that religion stuff on you, right? They'll play religion. Well, you saved, and you know the Bible says, yeah, you know what? I'm saved, sanctified. But the Bible didn't tell you to get a job, smoke your stuff up, party with your friends, drink the way you drink, do what you want to do, and act a fool, and then come back here and not follow my rules.
Amen. Amen.
There you go. You just tell them. Yeah, I love the Lord. I'm going to keep loving the Lord. But guess what? You had a job, and you were doing very well, and you were doing excellent. But since you don't want to follow the rules, and you feel you can smoke a cigarette and play like you put it out and spray some Lysol in the room, and then think you're going to fall for the okey-doke for smoke coming out of the room, then you just can't stay there because that smoke affects the house.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Amen.
Open forum today, people. If you got any questions or comments for Mother Thelma Sydney and myself. And that includes people you connect with.
That's right.
We have to learn that there are certain things you compromise and there are certain things that you don't compromise for the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. Any questions and comments for Mother Sydney and I today? Church questions, spiritual questions, comments. We're here to take your comment on today. I know I started the day off with, uh-oh. No, it ain't uh-oh. That's just true. You don't compromise.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you, Mother Sydney. God bless you, Prophet Matthew.
Good morning.
I just have a comment pertaining to what you just spoke about. When it comes to a person being grown and living in someone else's house or their property, there's no such thing. You might be grown with your age, but when you enter into someone else's home, if that person's rules is they want their house quiet at 10 o'clock, then that house is quiet at 10 o'clock. If they don't want you in their house, like you said, watching certain programs or with lights on at a certain time or in the kitchen or disrupting the house in any type of way, you humble yourself. I don't care how old you are, and you abide by the rules of that house because it's not your house. You're living in someone else's domain, and you have to respect it. And a lot of young people, they don't want to respect their parents, and that's where that tough love come in. And they have to learn when you're in mom's house, dad's house, your parents' house. I don't care if you're 50 years old. If mama says can't come in here at a certain time, you can't come in here at a certain time. And like you said, Pastor Matthews, you that grown, then you get your grown self out of here because you're not going to come in here and take over and rule and dictate my house. So that's, you can have love in your heart. You can have empathy, like Mother was saying, and you can have compassion and all of that. But a lot of times, even young people, they have, it's not just young people, people in general, they just feel like people owe them something. But no, that's a level of humility that you have to walk in when you are living with people, even though sometimes, you know, certain rules might be a little bit much, but you still have to abide by the rules of that house, no matter what those rules are. So I thank God for what you just said pertaining to that. And people will only throw that at you. You're supposed to be saved. Yes, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, love the Lord. But you're not going to come up in here and run my house and take over. So saying that we have to have, and because we are saved, that don't mean that we fool and that we have to take anything. So I thank God for you all on this morning. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. You have to take a stand. Amen. You have to take a stand. Amen. For your household. Amen. Because if God dwells in my household, he dwells there. Amen. Anything that's not like it, him, amen, it got to go. Not just in my household, but on my property. On my property, because my family, they know. They can't even smoke on my property. Amen. They know they cannot even smoke. They will go in the middle of the street somewhere off of my property, and they would go ahead and take their smoke. And one time, one of them tried to go in their car, but their car was on my property. I said, I said, you're on my property. He said, but I'm in my car. I said, but your car on my property. So you have to either move your car or you get out of your car, you go in the middle of that street somewhere. And they're like, wow, Ma. I said, yeah. No, I don't smoke. You know, I said, I'll be signing smoke cigarette butts on my property. And I'm like, no, 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 because that's not what I do. Amen. So you got to set a standard. Amen. In your home. Amen. What David said, he said, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if that's what you choose, then guess what? As for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because I want my home to be a dwelling place for God. Because, see, I know what can happen when my home is a dwelling place for God. Guess what happened? Healing manifests itself in that home. Deliverance manifests itself in the home. Amen. Glory to God. But let me go back to healing. Healing manifests itself in that home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you say you want to live, glory to God, then God, you're going to live. Until God says something different. Hallelujah, glory to God. And so I set my atmosphere. Hallelujah, God. I set my atmosphere for that, for life, for healing. Amen, for encouragement. Because I am an encourager. Hallelujah, God. Where God could dwell in every part, in every room, in my home. Hallelujah. Because it is a sanctuary for the Lord. Glory to God. And people, when they enter into your home, they will know the difference. They will know the difference. When they will enter into the home, they're like, oh my God, it's a peace. It's a peace. When I am not at home, I love plants. And I have my little daughter. She goes over there. She'll FaceTime me or do on me, amen. And I'll look at my plants. I said, oh, my God. She said, Mama. She said, these plants, no, you go. She said, look at them. Regardless how you tell me to water them or whatever. She said, these plants know that you are gone. And I told her, I said, there's one plant that I told you not to water. I said, I went and bought another plant just like that. I said, girl, you killing that same plant. You killing that plant. I said, what are you doing to the plant that you are killing? That's a poor plant to kill, that you're killing that plant. I say, don't overwater it. Amen. She said, well, I just put a little water in. I said, you put too much water in it. Amen. But as I was looking at my plant, and it was so true. When I'm at home, everything is thriving.
My girlfriend had told me, she said, girl, when I pass by your house, she said, look, my baby, there's no one there.
We can't hear you anymore, mother.
She said, like, you can pass by the home, you can tell, amen, when there's life in the home, amen. You can even see them there.
Mother, you're going out again. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we get
you
a little better, mother. Amen.
I'm okay. Okay, let me.
There you go. That's better.
Great. Okay, let me let this phone. I'm getting excited. I guess I keep.
I know you're getting excited, and them plants don't die, but our ears are dying too, so we can hear you.
Okay, prophet. Amen. Let you have that one. Glory to God. So we just bless the Lord, amen, on this morning.
No, go ahead, my Lord.
We need to talk about there's life, you know, your spirit in your home. You have to set the tone. You have to set the tone of your home. Amen.
Absolutely.
Because your temple, amen. Even with our temple, because it says our temple, amen, is the temple of the Lord. And we have to set the tone, amen, because if the Bible said greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that means the greater one is living down on the inside of us.
Absolutely.
And so if he's living on the inside of us, we have to feed that greater one, amen.
Yes.
We have to feed him with the word of God. Amen. We can't allow everything to go in through the ear gate. We can't let everything go in through the eye gate. We can't let everything come up out our mouth. Amen. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Amen. We have to be the example. Amen. I think about how this song that they used to sing, there's something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, one machine that came over me. Hallelujah. And so that which is working on the inside has to produce on the outside. Amen. Where the world will be able to see a change in you, a change in your conscience, a change in your being. Amen. So what's working on the outside, it will manifest itself on the outside. Amen. What's on the inside, it will manifest itself on the outside. Glory to God. And so what you're putting in, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God, and you keep putting God in, if you keep putting the word of God in, if you keep thinking on whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is just, amen, whatsoever is pure. The Bible tells us to think on those things, amen. If you are putting those byproducts, thank you, Lord, you're putting those byproducts on the inside of you, glory to God, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start manifesting on the outside. Amen. Your countenance is going to change. Who you are is going to change. And people are going to know there's something different about you. You don't have to worry. Amen. Saying I'm saved. You ain't heard a word. You ain't got to shout it on the mountaintop and say I'm saved. Amen. You just live it. You live the life, amen, glory to God. And
that's
what's on the inside, it will manifest itself on the outside. People will know who you are and who you belong, who you are. Who you are and whom you are. Who you belong to, glory to God. On today, amen. And so we have to make that choice, amen, of our of what our home, amen, and what our, the temple of the Lord is going to be like. Amen. Glory to God. You have to take, you got to command the atmosphere. God gave us power. He gave us authority, amen, to do that. Okay. And you command the atmosphere. He gave it to us. He said greater works than we're going to do. Amen. If God said it, it shall be done. Amen. I remember Prophet when I gave my life back to the Lord. Amen. And I started getting into the Word, I started praying. And as I was in the Word, glory to God, not fully understanding it, but yet I was in it and I was just saying, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. I wanted everything that you have for me, everything that I'm supposed to experience, amen, while I'm in this body, I said I want to experience. Glory to God. And the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost said, are you willing to pay the price?
That's
hallelujah. And then I told him, I said, I want his anointing. Oh, my God, I got so bold. I didn't even know at that time what his anointing was. But I just wanted it. Hallelujah, glory to God, because I was hearing everybody talking about his anointing. He said, that power. I'm like, okay. I want that. And the Holy Spirit said, are you willing to pay the price? And I'm like, yes. I kept saying yes. Yes. But I didn't know what I had to go through. I didn't know there was a price that she had to pay. I tell you, Mother Sister paid the price, and yet still paying the price. I remember at a point in my life, and the Spirit of the Lord came back. He said, are you still willing to pay the price? I didn't came too far to turn back. Hallelujah. That's how they came too far. Glory to God. I said, what am I going to go back for? What am I going to give up for? I said, I came too far. And as they played that record this morning, I love this place by Tasha Carr. Hallelujah. I'm like, God, I love this place. I love where I'm at. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank and praise God on this morning that Mother Sydney paid the price. Yes, I paid the price, God, and I'm still paying the price, glory to God, until Jesus returns. So we just thank and praise God for you. If you have a comment, amen, glory to God, on a conference line, just come right on in, a question, praise report, amen, just start this your line and come right on in. On the Blog Talk Radio, you can just press 1 on your dial. And you administer it by and bring it right in. God bless you. Amen. I tell you,
I need this
money for my own self, life. Hallelujah.
What did you say, Mother? You needed this for your own self?
Yes. Because God, I need somebody to pour into me.
Right. That's so true. And that's the thing about growth demand change. In life, growth demand change. You have so many people in the pew that are so full and so fat that they don't realize that they can flow, they can operate, they can do what needs to be done in the kingdom of God. it's only when someone else is sent in to provoke them to godly jealousy that they say, oh, well, I mean, I can flow like that. Well, when the pastor, a leader, or someone trying to get you to move in your gifts and flow in where you are, give your testimony, your praise report, we have so many people hold back so long, and they're almost bubbling over with all of what's inside of them. They're full. Then you got somebody that they just way past full. They're just out in the ozone. But we as believers, man, God has put so much inside of us that we don't use what he has in us so we can manifest the kingdom and the things of the kingdom of God. There's so much in the believers that God has given us. But as I was sharing about the home, one of the things in sharing what I was sharing with the people about home, the home or family or living in somebody's house, the thing is compromising the ability to use wise compromise, because a lot of confusion begins in relationships, marriages, and dating. Even in dating, people compromise the important things to get a date. They compromise certain things to keep a person. They compromise certain things to fulfill purpose or to go along with things, their own values, their own principles. And once after they compromise or breach these things, they is now an issue or problem or mistakes happen. I won't even call it mistakes, because when you compromise something, you ain't making a mistake. You did it so you can benefit the person or make that person feel better or to keep that person in your life or to keep mess from going on or keep arguing or debating intense fellowship. That's where you have to take a stand in areas of your life. And you just got to say, you know, that I can't do that. I can't do that for this relationship. I can't do that to be part of this ministry. I can't do that to be your friend. That's something I just don't. I can't do that in my house. Well, you know, we've been friends for 25 years. Yeah, but for 25 years, I'm still remaining the same. I just don't do it. But I ain't seen you in years because, you know, we brothers and sisters. We're going to be brothers and sisters, but I just don't do that here. Because you'll gain more not compromising than it is to compromise. Because once you compromise that area, you have to compromise another one. You have to compromise another one. And then you go, before you know it, you lost control or power of your household, your family, and the thing that you need to do. Because you chose to compromise to make a person happy. And in the kingdom of God, we're not supposed to compromise the integrity of who we are to make somebody happy. Then you say, yeah. That's
amen.
All.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Any other, anyone have a question or comment for Mother Thelma, Sidney, or myself on today? We just blessing the Lord for all that the Lord is doing and releasing to us, in us, and through us on today. God is for us. He's very mindful of us. He's very mindful of us. We thank God for us. The great and mighty thing. We got it. But that's it, nothing. That's it for me, especially when it comes to that decision and that position of decision. Yeah. You gotta stand on that word. You know, standing on that word. You stand on that word. That's the power that you have. Standing on the word.
Yeah.
Standing on that word. Too many of us have shifted our decision to support and build somebody else up. You don't want to do that. You want to maintain your
Well, Lord, you said that. Amen. Amen. You know, Prophet Matthew, we was on the conference on yesterday praying. And when I had told you that the word of God gave me about aerial warfare, after I had said that, I felt an intensity of it around me in the atmosphere. And I'm just like, God, I was like, why I'm feeling battle fatigue here? Amen. And when you just warring in the spirit, I said, God, I'm feeling battle fatigue. And in my spirit, I said, Lord, I need some help. God. Glory to God. And I just quiet myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Quiet myself. Just to hear what God is saying. I just quiet myself. And he just said, like, peace be still. Peace be still. Even in the midst of storm, even in this aerial warfare that we are encountering. That we are in today. And I'm like, God, I said, I thank you. That's why the body of Christ must stay connected. We must stay connected. Glory to God. We don't have time, amen, as you talked about jealousy, envy, and strife. We don't have time for that. And this hour that we're in, and even this song, even the songwriter said, sometimes, you know, we have to encourage our own self. Even through the storm, even through the battles, we got to encourage ourselves. Sometimes you have to reach way down sometimes and pull what's in you out. Hallelujah, glory to God. I was sitting in the bed. Amen. Glory to God. And my other great grandson, he decided, okay, he want to sleep with Granny and the other great grandbaby. They decided they want to sleep with me. I said, whoa, Father. They decided they want to sleep in the bed with me. I said, Lord, if I ain't getting no sleep. I said, not with them too. I said, one at the top and one at the bottom. I said, they bad sleepers here. And that was so true. But yet enjoying them, laying there, you know, couldn't sleep. Started talking to the Lord, had my eyes closed, amen. When I'm looking at the laptop, cartoons, whatever, turning it down, glory to God. But yet, still talking to the Lord. I guess they just want to be in the presence of their granny, you know, sleep in the bed with their granny. Amen. But yet, making a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice, glory to God. Making that sacrifice that others may be accommodated, that others may have their joy. Amen. Glory to God. And so, I just thank the Lord, amen, for this moment right now. Even though my time zone is different, I'm up at 3 a.m., glory to God. But I thank and praise God because when we talked about on yesterday's podcast, you said, oh, I feel my help. I feel my help right now because I need my help. I'm riding right now on my hip. Not Mother City. Mother City has been gone. I'm Medio Shekinah. Thank you, Lord. I've been gone. I don't have no strength. But I'm writing, amen, on the truth of God early this morning. And it's nobody but the Lord. Amen. Have you ever been just standing up in your kitchen? Amen. Doing what you do in the kitchen. Amen. Caring for the family. Amen. Glory to God. Have you ever felt yourself standing, but yet you knew it wasn't you standing there, and you felt like he was about to topple over, but you feel somebody, the old Shekiah God, you feel somebody holding you up while you're standing, and you know that you feel like you just want to fall out? That's the Spirit of the Lord carrying you. That's God carrying you through. He is holding you up. Because in our weakness, God is made strong. In our weakness, when we have depleted everything, glory to God, and we still in the battle, and still got to continue in the battle, and you know you're in the heat of the battle, and everyone is requiring of you. Everyone needs you. Hey, my no shake. Thank you, Lord God. But God said, but my grace is sufficient. Grace. Amen. His grace carries us. His grace carries us. Amen. And so on this morning, hallelujah, glory to God, the line is open up, open for him. The line is open up to you. Amen. If you have a question for myself, Father Matthew, comment, your praise report, glory to God, love praise report, amen. Hallelujah. Just on the conference line, start fix your line, on the Blog Talk Radio, glory to God. Just press one on your dial. Ministry of Bible will bring you right on in. Hallelujah. I tell you, I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel his presence. Hallelujah. On this morning, glory to God. He's moving by his spirit. He's in the atmosphere on this morning. Glory to God. You might be preparing yourself for a job. You might be preparing yourself to go to school. You might be preparing yourself for an assignment or just for your daily task on today. Amen. Set your atmosphere. Command your atmosphere. Create your atmosphere. Allow it to be conducive. Amen. Well, the Spirit of the Lord can be there. Hallelujah. Early this morning. Morning manna. Early this morning. Amen. Prophet Matthew, in your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He just blessed the Lord.
You get it, Mother. Bless the Lord. I tell you. All right. You're in it, Mother. And that's the important thing of life. You know, I'm multitasking on today as a pastor, a prophet, and so many hats. I'm wearing many hats this morning. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, if I don't tell people how many different hats I wear, they'll never know. But as a father, parent, grandfather, pastor, leader, mentor, prophet, evangelist, many hats that I wear in the kingdom of God. So I really thank God for just the wisdom to be able to do so many things in the kingdom of God, but enjoy those things. As I was telling the people yesterday, when you were talking about laughter and having fun, I had to learn this. And actually in the last 3 years of my life, I think I'm having the most, I can't speak for anybody else. I can't speak for anybody else. Circumstances, situation, I could speak for myself. that when I've learned to release people, let people go, let things go, things begin to move, and they get excited, mother. And that's excited about. Yeah.
Come on, amen. Back amen. Even go back to, you said that laughter, you said go back to the scripture, Proverbs 15 and 13. It says a merry heart make it a cheerful countenance. Amen. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And one thing that I can say, even just for my own self, amen, I thank God for the spirit of laughter. Amen. I thank God for the smile that he has given me. Amen. Because one thing that I've always done, always smiled. Hallelujah. When I greet people, I'm always smiling. Regardless, hey, my God, regardless of what I'm going through, people will never know what I've gone through unless I tell you. That's one thing that I asked of the Lord. He said, I inquired of him. And I said, Lord, I will never want to look like what I've been through. Never.
Yeah. And, mother, and that's the important thing. But see, that's the thing about, you know, and that's the thing about people or the church world. As scary, and I'm not saying scary because I'm not scared of nobody, but as scary as you think, people get an enjoyment when they recognize you at a low point. I'm not, everybody ain't like this. Everybody is not like that. But then you have some people who love to play on your disability or your disenfranchised or the way you are. And they enjoy that. Good God Almighty.
Amen.
In the Lord,
that's
God,
true.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I think that you fail to realize and you fail to realize the God that you serve.
Oh, God. Yeah, go ahead, mother.
They fail to realize, you know, the God that you serve. Amen. Glory to God that he has your back. Because I can say one thing is that regardless of what I went through, amen, God was yet there. He was yet still providing me, was yet still fighting my battle for me. He would always say, hold your peace. He said, now I'll fight the battle. And when I will hold my peace, I tell you, God will whip them upside down, right side up. And then I told this person this. And they asked me, why did you say that? I said, you know, the Bible said, you know, you could be angry but sin not. Amen.
Right.
Well,
that's it.
You don't let the sun go down being angry. I said, but I said, look, I said, I'm real. I said, I'm a real person. I said, I'm real. I mean, I am real. I am authentic. And I said, one thing that I've learned is that people cannot take my truth. I said, I ain't tell people my own truth. They can't take my truth. And I said, and when it comes to a part where I am discontented, amen, and I go before the Lord, and I will tell God all about it, and I just said, Lord, just put mud in their face for me. And he's like, huh? I said, tell God, put mud in their face. Just throw some mud in their face. Amen. Glory to God. That's a whooping. Just throw mud in their face. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not doing it. I'm yet still loving them. I'm yet still what? Have that spirit of compassion. Have that spirit of, I have an unconditional love. I have an unconditional love. Because if I love you, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I don't have strings attached. Amen. But you have to be very careful. Amen. When you have that type of unconditional love, I said, because, see, the enemy will use some people. Amen. They'll take your kindness for your weakness. Amen. They think you are a little pushover. Amen. Glory to God. They think, you know, they could do whatever, say whatever. Amen. They could just brush you, you know, whenever they wanted. They could just string you on along like a puppet. Well, they, at least they think they doing that. But they don't realize, amen, that the spirit of discernment is always operating. And at the same time, God is fighting my battle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's fighting my battle. You think I don't see? You think the Lord is not allowing me to see what you are doing? But because of who I am, my makeup, my character, I'm not going to, we should not allow anyone to change who we are. I'm not going to allow nobody to change who we are, who I am. Amen. This is who I am. This is who I am. You're not going to change me. Amen. Glory to God. But I'll change my way of how I do things now. I'll change the way how I do things with you. But my love will never change. I was at a point when I told the Lord, there was a certain person, people, amen, and I went before the Lord. I went before the Lord and I told the Lord that I was mad with my own self. I said, God, I'm mad with myself. I'm angry with my own self. I said, I'm just so angry with myself, God. I'm angry with myself because I love these people so much. I said, I love them unconditionally. I told my girlfriend that. She said, girl, I said, yes. I was really angry with myself because I love the way I love. That's something. Angry with my own self because I love the way I love. But you never get that same love back, only through Jesus Christ. But God will put someone in your life. Amen. He'll put someone there. Glory to God. And so it's just the God that's in me. Amen. Because no more do I have a stony heart. I have a heart of flesh. When they say born again, oh, I'm born again. Amen. Glory to God. Yet still growing in the grace of God. Yet still growing, growing daily by grace. Growing in Him. Amen.
In Him.
You know, we still, you know, we still have some, we still going to have some flaws in this body while we are here. We still have flaws. Amen. But through our flaws, amen, glory to God, God is working on us. He's working through us. And we don't willfully see. We don't willfully see it. Hallelujah, glory to God.
No, and that's the thing. That's the thing about people who are hypocrites or hypocritical people who are hypocrites. They're... When you deal with people who are hypocritical people, they don't recognize that they made mistakes too. And they're, I don't know if I should dig into this ocean here. This is the ocean. I had to go into the ocean with this. But you got people who want to deal with your issues more than they deal with their issues, and they're not seeing themselves. And they have their own shortcomings, but they always have their issues, I'll put it like that. And they want to deal with your issues, but they want to teach, talk, and say something opposite of theirs, which is hypocritical. And not looking at that we all are flawed. We, the Bible talks about putting no confidence in the flesh. You can't. You got to put confidence in the spiritual person. but not the flesh. You got to know the difference, because you got to understand people are flawed. And like you said, you love the way you love. And we can't let people change the love that we have due to the disability that they have or the challenge they have. We have to continue to show that love towards them in spite of what their weakness is and their disenfranchised. But we have to guard ourselves. I think the thing with us as believers, we have to learn to guard ourselves. We have to guard our hearts, like to guard ourselves. Because these are flawed people, so we got to guard ourselves. We got to learn to protect ourselves when it comes to other people, other individuals. I know a certain person that looked me in the face, and I think everybody had this, and said, want to borrow money. And at that time, they meant right. Well, really, did that mean right? You know, really, did that mean right? Did they really mean right? Because when it came to paying me back at the time, the date, and the hour, and the season, they didn't do it. I was very upset about it because I had made plans around my own money that I give them, but they didn't. And they didn't pay it. And it took them almost a year later to give back what they owed to me. And they'll never get it again. But the sacrifice, even the financial burden that it caused me, it happened. So going back to that compromise, emotions of people, feelings of people, and things that happen, you got to just trust God. And another thing, adding to that, Mother, when you can't do what people want you to do, whatever you do, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, because people are going to make you feel bad. They'll make you feel bad about something you can't do. You got to break that. If you can't do it, you know, I can't do it. It'll make you feel like, well, let me go out my way to make it happen. Let me do all this. If you can't do it, don't hurt yourself. Don't put yourself under no guilt if you can't do it. Yeah. Amen. Just trust God. Amen. Lean on God. Believe God.
Amen.
But you know you're meant right. Your attention is good. Attention is right. You know, go just a friend, cousin, relative, person of interest. I just can't do it. Well, I know you. I know the type of person you are. And then they use that psychological game. That's what they throw you off. Try to throw you off. Nah, I just can't do it. Well, and then. Now, then that undertone and covenant spirit kicked in. Well, I know you did it for such and such. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's stop the tail. Let's do the timeout thing. Hold on. You're not going there now, because you don't know the circumstances I was in or the position I was in.
Yeah.
So your yay got to be yay. Your nay got to be nay. You got to leave it right there with people.
Amen.
Some people look at your house, they look at your car, they look at how you talk, and they determine your money by your mouth or your clothes or your dress. And that's not always the case.
That's true.
Amen. All right, thank you for joining us, kicking in today. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Amen. I do. This is good morning, everyone. This is Sister Alba, and I wanted to comment with Mother Sydney. Mother Sydney, I really praise and thank God for you as well. When I first got listening to this line, it hasn't even been a year, but I just, you know, when you becoming a part of something, you want to kind of follow and listen so you can know how to interact. And as I listened to this line and listened to you, I just felt so attached to you as well. You know, the prophet is my Pastor is my pastor and my leader, so you normally be attached to him. But I was so attached to you, and I was so wanting to hear whatever you had to say, naturally, spiritually, just whatever you wanted to say, whether it was sad, good, whatever, because you was talking about the love, how you love unconditional. I could say I believe that because I was drawn to your realness, you know, your love. You know, it's like, you know, iron sharpening iron. Deep call to deep, you know, real call to real, face to face love, face to face strength to strength, glory to God. It's just something about you that I'm so drawn to, and I love that realness. And I don't even know you personally. I haven't met you personally or in person, or even spoke to you, you know, literally in person. But you are such a genuine jewel to me. I love you so dearly because of the realness, the true love I feel for you. I mean, I'm serious about this. I know you out of town, but I'm drawn to somebody when I know that they wouldn't do anything to hurt you, but they would do it to help you. I love you like that to the point of where you are, and I kind of know where you are. I would just actually drive in and come get you if you needed me to. That's how I feel concerning you. I'm serious. I'm serious. And when I listen to you online, it's like I want everybody to be here listening to Mother Sydney's talk to get online. You know, Mother Sydney's talk, because I just feel like you don't have any arterial motives, no hidden agenda. It's just real. You know, just real. And I love that. And like you said, you can love people so much like that. To people who try to take advantage of that love, people try to just wound you for that. And I find people like that, they're so precious, and they're just a jewel in my heart and my hand, because I know, because I'm a loving person like that. And you just don't want to be, you know, handled wrong, and people can, so you have to, you know, you have to be strong. But I love people like that. So I'm going to tell you, when I first started listening to this line, you are one. I didn't forget no more. You know, I was trying to be podcast, you know, things, you know, in the ministry for us to do. And I thank God, because as you become a part, you have to, you know, get connected with everything. But since once I got on this line and heard you a couple of times, I said, oh, man, I got this. So I never forgot. This, I tell you, this was one of the first times I was able to get on and remember every Thursday morning. And I'm at work, you know, that's not important. But anyway, I'm able to kind of go in certain rooms and talk and just shut the door off. I need to let Mother Sydney know how much I appreciate her. You know, I heard that she's been up all night. I'm going to keep you lifted up. Because you're like a mother to me. I'm telling you. And I love that we call you Mother to me, because you're like a mother to me. Your genuineness, your realness. Oh, it's just so blessed. It's such a blessing to me, and I'm sure it's a blessing to others. I recognize it's real. I recognize real. Mother, you are one of them. Princess jewels. So I just wanted to tell you that, to encourage you, but it was just not to just, you know, give you brownie points or anything. It's to let you know I recognize the love you have for your people, because I hear it permeates out of you. And when it permeates out of you, and I desire that, I look for that, and sometimes you get the face, and all of a sudden, boom, you get the bomb dropped on you. But Mother, whether you drop it a bomb or not, it's still with love, and I love that. I love that. I'm telling you.
Praise
so God. I just wanted to share that a little bit, like, and let you know, keep on doing what you're doing, because it's in you. It couldn't come out of you in purity. You know, somebody says the Bible says it, and you just say, think on things that are lovely, just, honest, and good report, pure. There's any virtue you think on these things. It comes out of you because it's in you. And I seek that, because, I mean, it ain't like we not with the people who just run over us. We going to tell the truth. And you want to know something about me, ask me. Don't manipulate me or come around the corner trying to find out about me. I'm here. I'm willing to talk to anybody who want to talk to me. So don't try to, you know, have an ulterior motive to try to find out things about me, because you only going to know me by talking to me. And so I just mean, you would never really know this unless I shared it with you. And I didn't want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to be like you a little bit more. Because what's in you comes out, and I recognize it. And it's in some of that, that's in me, that love, that unconditional love, you know, I just want to thank you and give God the glory for you and honor you. Okay, good morning. Okay, God bless you. I'm going to ask for a minute. Thank you so much. God bless you, Prophet and Pastor, this morning. Be safe out there. Amen.
Amen. Bless you as well.
Bless you. Amen. Nobody but the Lord. Amen. It's nobody but God, but I thank and praise God. Know what we need when we need it.
Amen.
I was
and it's good to get praise reports like that. It's good to let you know you're impacting people's lives and touching people's lives. And that means a lot. That's how.
Amen.
I'm a
woman of God. You know, yes. This song that when she was saying that, I thought about this song. It said, "Is my living in vain?"
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, "Of course not." Yeah, the clock sister, you know, of course not. No, my living is not in vain. Amen. And earlier today, yesterday.
Sister Karen ain't got nothing to worry about living in vain now. She's the first lady of the Church of God in Christ. So.
Amen. Amen. Yes, she is. Amen. I tell
She's
you.
In an honorable place.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, she is. Glory to God. You know, I was speaking on of my beginning, and I was conversing with someone because I told her, I said, you know, I'm going to be on Blog Talk Radio in the morning. And I said, I'm a co-host, you know, with a good friend of mine, Prophet Matthew. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, God brought him into my life at the right time. I said, not just my life. I said, it was my life and my husband's life. And I said, God knew what I was going to need. I said, he already saw my past. I said, but he already saw my future. I said, he knew what I was going to need. Amen. Glory to God. When my husband took his wings and flew away. Hey, glory. When he took his wings and flew away. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's something how God will put someone in your life, amen, to peep in. Because God allowed Prophet Matthew to see my spirit, amen, before we met personally. We knew each other's spirit, amen. We connected with each other's spirit, amen. And I remember Evangelist Wilkes. She was probably the first one and said, Prophet, you better get that mother. I remember her telling me that. She said, Prophet, you better get that mother there. Amen.
Right.
And people recognize the realness. Amen. The realness of God in the person. Amen. And you know, when you have that real spirit, when you have the true spirit of God in you, amen, you could detect fluff in a person. You could detect that fluff that's there. You ain't even got to see them. You just could hear the sound. And I remember telling my daughters, amen, with the people they were involved with, and I wouldn't even have to see him. I saw a picture of him one time. They said their name one time. I said, nope. Not saying that I don't want you to have a relationship. I'm like, nope. They ain't the one. They're not the one. I said, they're not the one. Amen. Glory to God. And I never said, I told you so. But they always thought mom was going to come and say, I told you so. I never said, I told you so. I just chuckled when they came back and said something. Amen, because I'm mama. And when they need mama, we have to be here. We got to be available. I have to be available.
Right.
Even in their state, amen. Glory to God. Because how is it that, and I was saying this to the Lord, I said, God, how is it I could go all the way around the world and save the world? I said, my family lost.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that don't sound right. I don't look like God. You know, and so, and this is the hour that I'm in right now. And God, my ministry is really with my family right now.
Right. There you go.
It's the hardest thing. But guess what? I have to do it. Because they say, oh, the prophet don't have no honor in his own hometown.
Absolutely.
You know, and yet, and you looking, and you saying, Lord, okay, give me what to say. Give me what to say. And then sometimes, you know, mama or sister, okay, but the power of God has to rear up. It rears up. And you got to rebuke.
Yeah.
And rebuke in love. Because you just see sister, you know, you just see sister here. You just see auntie here. No. Now you see above that, I am here on a mission.
Yeah.
I'm here on a mission. I'm here on a mission. I am here ministering. Even not where I'm at right now, even when I'm at home, even when God said, okay, I through this pandemic, I want you to have Bible study with your family. I'm like, what? You folks don't want this from me, but who cares? I'm just being obedient.
Yeah.
Being obedient and doing just that, even alone with other things that God give us to do.
Right.
Glory to God. And so, yeah, like you probably said, your plate is overflowing.
Yeah.
Your plate is overflowing. Like you said, you have so many hats, and with those hats become responsibility and being accountable for.
Yeah.
People is looking for you to do something, but they ain't going to do nothing.
And they won't do nothing. And that's why it's important. That's why as a believer, you can't let yourself be overrooted. Should I use the word overrooted? No. In the overkill when it comes to you. My parents are in that latter year. So my dad is 78, he'll be 79 next month, and my mother's 74. So my priority in this season is to do ministry, be involved in ministry. But I'm not going to ministry, as I was saying, and I want people to hear this so people can understand it so they got clarity. I preach, teach, minister the word of God. My priority in this season is my parents, my family, and not ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? That doesn't take priority as it once did, because there's another ministry I have to take root in. I still pastor the people, deal with the people, deal with issues, prophesy, flow. But that's not a priority. I was sharing with somebody the other day, letting them know. You have to know your priorities in life when it comes to doing ministry. Because there's a lot of pastors and people in ministry. The people become more priority than their home, their family, their wives, their children. So you have to know what's priority as it relates to the work, the ministry, and stick with that, because most of the people, and me being a pastor traveling, I've experienced ministry dealing with all of the people, and once they got, as I call it, the medical treatment, the medical need, they're gone. You follow what I'm saying? They're gone. So, and what I've done, I mean, that Cordy to me a way to help them, but they're gone. They're gone. You're the physician. They're gone. They get what they need, help me. They're gone. And then the one who that's going to be there always, they're going to always be there. So don't get so caught up and then say, well, this is God's will. No, you have to really know, examine what is God's will for you. Because you get caught up in religious ways of what people say and do. And then really, it's God's will, but you have to prioritize so you can know, okay, is this the will of God? Is this really what God says? Because ain't no preacher in the world, and I'll say this on any platform, ain't no preacher in the world, if you got a wife and children, and you telling your wife and children, your church and all the people that are more important to them, they're liars. And I said to a bishop, superintendent, I said to a pope, you're lying. That's not your priority. Your priority is your home, sir. And you need to get back in order with God. And I don't mind telling anybody that. I'm seasoned enough to do it. I'm mature enough. And titles don't move me. Half of my, and I don't say this in an arrogant way. I say it in common. And half of them, I've been around the world more than that title. I can tell. I'm qualified to tell your title something. Because you get too title bound, and you're no earthly good.
Yeah.
So you have to understand your priority and know what that priority is. And I know somebody going to use the word leave and clean. Go sit in the timeout corner. You don't even know what leaving and clean means, but you probably ain't submitted to nobody anyway. Don't bring that leave and clean to me. I don't even want to hear it. Throw it in the garbage. But that's a game you're playing. You want me to tell you about leaving and cleaning? Let me tell you about leaving and cleaning. But see, I had a pastor that said that. I said the Bible said when a man findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, not paying favor of the Lord. Now you find, you thought both finding. Okay, now, when you get married, you leave and cleave. You brother, sister, family member, you leave and cleave to your mate. So when you cleave to your mate, you get connected with your mate and you become priority. And once you have ordered, got your cleaving together and leaving, then you can do what needs to be done to help others. That's what leaving and cleaving means. It doesn't mean you take away from the important thing, but you don't make that the center point of your marriage, your family, your wife, your children. You don't put all that out of the way. So now, graduate from that class and then come back. We'll do another class on 104 and 105. Because you got to understand the important thing.
Amen.
The important thing. That God ain't going to tell you, your wife, your children is fourth class, fifth class citizen. No, he ain't going to tell you. That's why you got a lot of people that don't know how to leave an inheritance for their family. They don't know how to leave an inheritance for their family. That building become a God, and the Holy Ghost leads the building. That people become your God, and the Holy Ghost lead the building. No, God has to remain who he is in your life at all times so you'll be able to deal with that. That's going back to the compromise, to understanding the will of God. Don't compromise yourself. Don't sell yourself for 30 pieces of silver and miss out on the priorities of your children. And here you are. Your son is grown 25 years or 30 years later, and you wonder why, well, I did this for my children. I did that. Yeah. You know, what did you do? Because it almost like you could be a ghost in the house. And you didn't, everything is surrounded around ministry or surrounded around your building and the people and your team and everybody else. And then you forget the priority. You don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to do that. Yeah. You never want to do that. That's important to the fact.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Thank the God. Well, we bless the Lord today, Mother, for the people of God. And I think we said any more questions coming. I put a seal on it now. We seal it up for now. We gave time to people to say questions, comments, if you want to say something. Yeah. So we thank God
bless for you,
the Chicago area today. Come on in, man, and God bless you.
God bless you, sir. God bless you, Evangelist Mother Thelma Sidney. God bless you, Mother of God. Amen. Appreciate y'all. Celebrate y'all, man. Amen. Prophet, you were touching on something. I know Mother Sidney was sharing a lot. I did had a question there, but I hold that. Elaborated on concerning ministry and family. And I know that's relational as well. You know, balance has to come to that. Also, I had a conversation some time ago with several preachers. Now, check this out. Because, you know, sometimes we will use scripture to justify what we want to do. And valid point, too, that, you know, they had. But I like the way that you explained it as well concerning what's important. Now, they use the scriptures about, you know, forsaking, not really necessarily saying forsaking family, forsaking mother, father, forsaking. They were using scriptures. That's what Jesus said when they asked the question when his mother and father were looking for him. He said, "Who is my mother, my father?" He said, "Those that do the will of God or the will of the kingdom," in so many words.
Yeah.
And they were using that to say for those in family that's not connected or really not, I guess, so many words, if they're pastoring a church, a local church, or whether they're a bishop or, like you said, a pope or whatever they are, we know many title stuff. They use that scripture to justify, you know, where they put their priorities at. And this is where I say that I believe balance, God would give us the wisdom to bring balance, because you cannot forsake your family and nor forsake the call of duty that God has mandated, called, you know, you to the ministry, because now you have adopted another family. But that's the scripture that they were using to justify reason why many put their priorities first with the ministry or church instead of putting it with their family. And then I think another argument, or I'm going to say argument, debate came up where we was talking. They brought up about, come back to the Holy Ghost. If a man can't take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? That was another debate that came up when we were dialoguing from there. But the point that you brought out is valid, because, again, many leaders do forsake their families. But, again, we know that God instituted the family, so we know that balance has to come in place where the first priority is to our families. And that's what I was explaining to them as well. But at the same time, we can't deviate from the plan or will of God concerning our lives, especially as leaders when you're in the ministry, got family, and your family could be at a point of really causing you to be weighted where you're not able to focus on the mandate assignment that God has called you to, because they're not going where in the direction you're going. I understand that's why we have to pray and intercede for our family. Just like the woman of God said concerning Mother Sidney, I believe that God do have men and women of God in place, amen, that are real, authentic, and that is setting an example. So I thank you for bringing that point out, man, because everybody have their viewpoint. Everybody have their mindset on certain things. You know, people say, well, whatever worked for you, you know, it worked. But still, we got to line it up with God's word, line upon line, and precept upon precept, and not take it out of context. So thank you, man of God, for bringing that out.
Amen. Good morning, Prophet. Good morning, Mother.
Good morning.
Yeah. Amen. I'm sorry.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, come on.
Apostle said about people using scripture out of content.
Right, yeah. Come on in, Vanda. Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
I know my position. I'm going to say this before I ask my question. I know my position. I know my authority. And I know the place that God has requested for my service to him. But I want to ask this because somebody else may be dealing with this. And this comes with along with what the pastor said about people taking scripture out of context. Several weeks ago, I was dropping off some taxes to a senior lady, and a young man came around the corner from him. I don't know if it was her daughter, her son, or whoever he was. And he asked me a question about preaching the gospel. That's what he was talking about. But he kind of attacked me in the same instance. And the question was, how can you be a preacher and you are over the head of your husband? And then he goes on and asks me about being an Israelite Jew. Now, I can tell you my answer was, first of all, I'm not over my husband. My husband supports my ministry. He always has. And I told him about the Israelite to each his own. I preach Jesus and didn't feel safe. Then was, is, can you please talk to women in ministry? That, because they're going to get opposition because people take scripture out of context. He also said women's supposed to be silent in the church. And I told him, I said, if women were silent in the church, where would the church be? That's what I told him. I left it at that. He said, you ain't going to let me comment? I sure didn't let him comment. I just left it at that and walked out. But anyways, can you please talk to the listening audience about women in ministry and folks taking scripture out of context?
Well, I want to deal with the first one when Apostle made the statement about you were sharing about your first statement, Apostle, about I think it was position or something, man of God, that you were sharing. I wanted to try to deal with that one first and then tap into the next one. I'm trying to remember exactly what you said.
I said me and a couple of other pastors, leaders that were dialoguing about how they were using the scripture when Jesus said, when they asked the question when the people were asking Jesus, his mother and father was calling him, and he said, who is my mother and my father? And he said that it is he that who do the will of the Father. So that's the scripture that they were using to justify about really forsaking or leaving family to do the work of ministry.
Right. Well, in that case, from that standpoint, first, Jesus was single. He was under the Judaic law as a Judaistic teaching. From that standpoint, when a child would reach a certain age, they was considered an adult individual. So they understood that. So he was mature, but he was mature because he was trained. He was taught and trained under Nazarites, the Nazarenes, to be a man, to be a mature adult, to understand the teaching of the Nazarenes, the Nazarites, and what they were about. So from 0 to age 13, when he made that statement, he was taught. He was taught and trained how and what his role should be. So when his mother and them came for him, he was explaining to them, based upon the translation, that he was mature enough and he was at that age and he was developed enough to do the will of the Father without being under the restraint of his parents. Now, take it a little farther. Since he understood that, he was doing the will of the Father because he was trained at a certain age, that at that certain age, they were considered men because they took the rites of passage. That's what it stands for. And because we got all these illegal pimp-playing preachers who don't know nothing about the Bible, won't study anything, want to break a few little words down and try to use that. Half of them ain't been trained, they ain't been matured,
they don't even understand the Levitican law, all this stuff about Passover that people are throwing at us about Passover. They don't even understand all of these feasts and how critical they are to the events of the year because they follow too much paganism. And until the Christian stops following paganism, and if you're going to follow the Judaic law, you're going to follow Leviticus, then get in Leviticus 23 and follow it all the way through to the end and keep going through the feast of the Pentecost all the way to May, June, and you'll understand it. But if you're going to keep following these pagan laws, it ain't going to never lead you to God from that. Now, there's a pastor, I don't want to give his name, but under my bishop, who came to the Church of God in Christ, and they taught, he brought the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church to the Church of God in Christ. And he used the Roman Catholic Church teaching, garments, the glare, the issues, the operation, the way they move to the Roman Catholic Church. So he brought all of those teachings from the Roman Catholic Church into the holiness and sanctified church. And they're following these ancient Roman Catholic ways, garment, day God, and all of those things, which is not God. So they brought all of those in there. And that's why a lot of those preachers, when they do the way they do things, they do it not based upon God, but the Roman Catholic Church, who don't believe in God, who don't even celebrate God, none of those things. They're totally what? They don't even read the Bible. They got a catechism. They use their canon. So that's what you see a lot of these pastors, when they take on these garments and they wear these garments, they operate in those ancient ways. Those are ancient ways. Those are all ways of Nimrod. And if you study it, you'll find out of Nimrod. Those are the ways of Nimrod. So they operate in it.
Sure.
So that's that. So I just want to say that. Now, and people acknowledge him, but you can't acknowledge something that's wrong because it looks beautiful, the sight of it. It looks great. It looks powerful. It looks so elegant. But all of it leads to Nimrod. I hated God, and you study him. You can go to you can Google Nimrod. Look at Nimrod. You'll find out what it is, Nimrod. Now, so from that standpoint, that Jesus or Yeshua understood his role and his responsibility. So when he said, I'm about, and I just wanted to add that in too, I'm digressing back. When he's being about the father business, his mother knew, his father knew, everybody knew that what he said was true. He was not dissing his parents. He was letting them know, Mom, I'm in a temple. I'm being about the business of the Father. And he understood that. That's what he was saying. And that was spiritual. He understood the spiritual part of the ramifications. So he understood that. And if you don't understand, if you were brought up as a priest in Leviticus, you understood your duties in the priesthood of the training. So he understood it. His mother and him understood it. So when he said it was about the father business, they didn't have to look for him and stress out, worry about things, go through all the challenge, go through all the difficulty. That's what he was saying. He was about his father business because he was trained to be about his father business, and he was released to be about the father business. That's what that was about. Now, as it relates to women in church, as it relates to women in church when it said being silent, that was because of what was happening at that time. And Paul,
in ministry.
I missed something.
Yes.
Okay, what did I miss?
I thought it was about women being in ministry, because he used the scripture about women supposed to be silent in the church. But I want you to address
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to address. Did I miss something? I'm trying to see. I was trying to address that right now.
Okay, go ahead, Prophet.
About women in ministry, and then he was talking about the silence. First, let me deal with the part of silence. The women, that was for that time. But what Paul was saying is there were women who were going over their husband, and they were going to other people. They were supposed to go to their husband who were married
concerning those matters. They were supposed to go to the husband and not to embarrass that man or that woman. It's like, okay, let me just say this. I'm married. I was married at one time. Okay. So, and I can say this candidly with nobody, with no problem, and ain't scared of nobody on this land. My wife always went to my pastor about me, and she would never come to me. So she would come back to my house or when I was in that church telling me what the pastor told her. So I went to the pastor. You know, told me that. Well, son, I was trying to explain. Well, no, pastor, you should. And I ain't trying to tell a man how to operate ministry, but he ain't know what he was doing. And I'm going to say that up front. You got conflict in my house telling me you should have told my wife. Did you talk to your wife? I don't never talk to any sons and daughters without asking them. Did you talk to your husband first? Did you do? Because we get this in this spirit that we divide home. And a lot of these jellyback preachers, that's what a lot of them are, jellyback preachers, they coward women and tell women about their husband. But women want to tell a man about their husband. Stop being cowards. Go to your own man. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying it in a nice way, but I'm being firm about it. They were going over their husband. Say he ain't right. Well, you know, but you married him, whether you say it or not. It's still the way we do things. We do things. So what they were doing, I ain't saying this in the mean way, I'm just saying it for people to understand. The situation was that they were going over their mate, and he said, well, you should talk to your husband about the matter. Communicate with him. Talk to him about it. So it won't be confusion in your home. It was not you stopping from doing the ministry or the work of the ministry. There was confusion going on at the Corinthian church during that time. It was confusion. So all of the confusion in other churches too, it was confusion. And it was, and Paul was saying he was trying to keep confusion down. He was trying to talk about confusion. And he said, and so to stop the confusion, he was saying, you be silent about that. Get to your house. Talk to your husband about that. If he's a man of God or a person, that you talk to him about that. Because they can, for example, somebody can say to you, and I talked to a pastor about that, we fell out. We still today fell out because of that. He feel that he wanted everybody to fast. Well, a woman of God, husband, didn't want to fast because he likes sex. Well, that's all right. You know, if you follow what I'm saying. And people, now, y'all going to get deep. Now, you going to get deep. I'm just telling you the truth. You don't want to open a door for him to go any other way. So I said, well, man of God, I would just say, you know, let the women and those men talk to their mate. Told me to do this. This is God. Look, brother. And I said to him firmly, with authority and power, you can't tell no man or woman what they should do in their household. They need to talk to their mate. The woman should talk to her husband. The men should talk to their wives if they're not in the church. Well, I know. So you mean to tell me God don't speak to me? I'm not saying that. I said, but there will be confusion if these people fasting and their husband and wife don't know that they're fast. Well, God made me the leader. See, now that's Negro stuff. See, that's that foolishness. Okay. So we're going to see.
Yes, sir, doctor.
Okay, we're going to see that. Okay, you go ahead. That's why his church is shut down. That's why he was a down low. Excuse me, and I'll call his name out if I have to. I'll call him out. I'll call him out. And he ain't got a minister because he's trying to rule people. You don't rule people with authority. You go to your mate. You talk to your husband. You talk to me and the guy, talk to your wife. Well, I know what, I got to do this before the Lord. So if that's the case, don't get married. And then let me go back to the one about the pastor who brought all that stuff to the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church over to the Church of God in Christ and to other denominations. Now, the Catholic Church, to be a priest in the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church teach celibacy. So you brought something over to the from the Catholic Church, from day God, an ancient spirit of Nimrod. And those men, you brought a teaching over there to them. Well, all of those men should have been single when they were bishops. They shouldn't have had no wives because you're bringing a teaching from Catholicism, and all of those men got to commit themselves to be celibacy,
no wives, no relationship. So you brought all of those teachers and garments and all of those things over there that didn't fit for the Church of God. You Church of God in Christ. You're talking about a sanctification church, sanctified living, holy living. Say that now, so I'm just going to pay. Anyway, so you're talking about man who got wives. So you can't bring all of that stuff over there. So what they made a commitment is that God is sold to the church. Church of God in Christ own these men. That's what they had to commit, that they were owned by the church. The Church of God in Christ. The Catholic Church he should have brought that over to the Catholic Church, because these men's wives are forsaken, their children are forsaken, because they were single men. These men, all them hundreds of bishops and archbishops and up and down, were all committing, they committed to be celibate. And not only that, they started them at young age. So they started them at young age, way, way at young age. They became little deacons in the church. You see what I'm saying? The Catholic Church had certain males, and they trained them all the way up to be like that. So they learned all their lives and not have. So you're going to take something from the Catholic Church and drop it on them because of garment, praise. And these men were sold to the Church of God in Christ. Wait a minute, hold on. So you owned by the Church of God in Christ. They own you from that. They own funeral for you. You have your own as well. But you're owned by them of another religion following God into that. So that's what they have with the Church of God in Christ. Now back to the, I'm trying to deal with the relationship with the husband and wife. So I was using that as an example. So as an example, we have a lot of people, I'm going to say women first, I'm going to go with women first. A lot of women have a misconception of being a minister, and not understanding the ministry of their home. It doesn't take away, if your house is in order and your husband is okay with that, and he doesn't have a problem with your husband and love your husband and treat him right, and God calls you to the ministry, then it's free for you to be in that ministry. But you should. But the woman of God must know her role and her duty to her husband when it comes to church. That's what I'm saying. She should know. She should know her body. She should know what she can take on and can't take on. She should know her femininity role as it required for ministry. And that's what makes ministry effective. Now, the Hebrew Israelites and the other think tanks, I call them other think tanks, a lot of stuff birthed from that place in the teaching. So I don't know a lot of the teaching, but what I do know from this perspective is that a lot of things were birthed out of a battle between Christendom, white and black relationship, what white have taught us, what white have shared with us, white America have told us, and those areas. So from that place and from that point of view, we get the Hebrew, the black Hebrew Israelite, and the teaching of the Hebrew half. I mean, even been over in Israel and don't even know real Hebrew, but they only talk what they taught to make them feel good, because a lot of them that issue with white America anyway, of course, who don't, but they're bringing up all of these religious point of views. And so they put a lot of people in bondage. And I even found something out recently, man, in my little study recently, even about the royal family. And that's what I wanted to say Monday. The third thing I wanted to say under the 4 points I gave Monday is that there's a big fight in the royal family over in Jordan and Saudi Arabia. That family all in chaos. It's a mess over there. It's a big mess. Father and son, it's a big mess. But as I was saying, I was telling the people about that. But anyway, they have their talk train, and they respect or disrespect the woman is so bad. I even found out some other stuff. So from that training and teaching, and the way they taught it, it puts the women in a bad situation in her womanhood, her femininity. So in saying that, we, especially our culture, because we have been so misused and so misviewed, and especially men as well. So we use religion, as Karl Marx said, as an opium, the sin of the oppressed man, the heartless of the heartless situation, and we use it as an opium without truly understanding what that word of God meant at that particular time. And that this, if a woman is, God called her to be ministry, she's ministering the word of God to the people. She's not disrespecting her husband. And I don't, and she's not going over her husband's head. If he said, honey, God released you to teach, God called you to minister, you obey God, do the will of the Lord God. Now, if you feel that you should minister or do the word of God, you all should have talked about that before y'all got married, in a relationship. See, that's the thing where people don't put everything on the table. They be putting everything, they be better rush to get to a bedroom instead of putting things on the table. But from that perspective, it should have an understanding. And that woman who's called to ministry, called to preach, called to that position, should understand her duty and her role and what that role will cost her, Kuhlman and her ministry, and some of those women back then to now. They call it was a Catherine Kuhlman ministry. She didn't need a title. She was Catherine Kuhlman, the evangelist, the woman of God, the miracle worker. She didn't even when you heard Hagen or Roberts represent, he said, my sister, Catherine Kuhlman. She didn't even battle that. We got so many people, you don't call them a apostle, a prophet, they out of order. You don't call her apostle, bishop, they out of order. That's only in our culture. This is a culture thing. It ain't got to do, yeah. This is a culture. This stuff is a culture thing. Now, everybody else, there it is. In 94 when Iona Locke came before she became bishop, and then he had the utmost respect for her. My sister in the Lord. She didn't argue about that when she spoke to them 14, 20,000 people at that church. It's only us. We're so caught up. Self-esteem. We feel our self-esteem is predicated on the title. So in saying that, if God called that woman to be a pastor, or God called that woman to be an evangelist, teacher, then if he called you to do that, you obey God. But you got to know you have to obey God. But don't jump out there if you're married. And talk to your mate, you know. I'm going to talk to my pastor. No, you better talk to your husband first. Just talk to your husband. That's my leader. No. Whatever dress you live in, whatever last name you carry, that's who you should talk to first. And see what he thinks, what he feels. And based upon how you treat him at home and how he treats you at home, your ministry would be great like that. I see it all the time. Based upon how you treat him at home and he treats you at home, that's how your ministry would be. But most people, their household is in a shambles because of the way they treat one another at the house. And ministry, they keep going in ministry, but it ain't effective because one is hindered because of the way they treat each other at home. That's it. So I hope for the young man who probably ain't saved and going to church and deal with the spirit field, he's just going on what he been taught because the opportunity came up and he probably had some he had an issue with the white Jesus that they gave us, the blue-eyed Jesus that gave us, all of those things based upon slavery that we've been taught. That has been taught to us
from slavery. That's what. That's all I'm saying from that place. About making
Prophet, thank you for saying what you said, and I want to just piggyback off of you said the woman should be talking to her mate concerning her position in following what God has said. And I believe this wholeheartedly because I've said it before. I did not want to minister at all. I was comfortable being in the choir, sitting on them pews.
Absolutely. I'm sure.
I wanted to be an usher, okay? And that's it. I didn't want to do nothing else. Trust me. Hallelujah. And when it comes to ministry, although my husband is not where he should be in the Lord, I'm not going to say he's not saved because I'm going to say where he should be in the Lord. I went to him, but God kept dealing with me, and I went to him. And I was hoping that he would say, because of what man had taught me, and I was hoping that he would say, no, you can't preach, you can't teach, because that was my way out, because that's what I was taught, and that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted, but that's not how God went. And he said, amen. That's what God tells you to do. You better obey him. I was like, I looked at him. I was so angry because at that time I was living in Texas. And so to him and stuff, I kept seeking God. And then it just was so heavy on me. Then I went to my pastor. I talked to my husband first. Then I went to my pastor. And then when I got to my pastor and I made an appointment with him and talked to him, he reared back in his seat, laughed in my face, put his hand on his desk and said, ha, 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 I was wondering how long it was going to take you. He already knew.
Mm-hmm.
The had already
there you knew. Go.
And so, therefore, right. What I'm saying is, if God is calling you, he's already going to prepare the heart of the man to receive ministry in you. So then, I want to hear you. So women, because women, there's women fighting women too. Don't get it wrong. It ain't all men fighting women. Mm-hmm. It's women fighting women too, because they don't feel that a woman should be preaching or teaching either. And that's because, as you said, it's a talk of men. And so when you, because of how God did it, this is what made, and I still, for years and years, even after my pastor told me to prepare myself, he started changing my position where I was sitting in the church. He started having me doing different things in the ministry. He was preparing me. I was coming to Bible study, coming to prayer, doing what I was supposed to be doing at home, praying at home, cleaning, taking care of my children, because my children were small at that time. I was in the military. God prepared. This is how I know that God did it, because he told me when I was a child, and this scripture always took stay places, your gift will make room for you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know at that time. I did not know at that time. I didn't understand at that time. And then I remember my pastor's wife when I was, because I was raised Church of God in Christ. So I was, his wife said, you're going to be a missionary. But I didn't understand the word missionary. All I knew was what missionary meant at the church, wearing white dresses and coming to church on Sunday. No.
Yeah.
I understood the missionary now meant evangelism. It meant to teaching and servitude of the Lord as I grew older. So this is, I just saying this because this question is so, and going back to what Apostle saying, the false teaching that people receive, they take it, the scripture, out of context. And we, sometimes many of the people in the Christendom, they use scripture to fit what they want.
Yeah.
And they are so far from God, so far.
So we just have to remember this is very important for, because your soul is at stake and other souls are at stake. And why do I say other souls are safe? Because God dealt with me so tough with this situation. Even when I was in my hotel room, he said, whether you do it, he took me straight to the scripture, whether you do it or not, you still required. Their people's blood is still going to be required at your hand because of this.
Amen.
I told you, did not do it.
Amen.
After that, I didn't have no more problem with trying to fight with God. Mother said, I ain't had no more problem fighting with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of course not. There were some other things I had fights with. But as far as me being in ministry, I didn't have no more fights with that one.
Yeah.
I'm going back on mute. And thank you. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Visionary Dr. Matthew, sir.
Yeah. And you
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They need help.
Well, you know what? It says in 1 Corinthians, I think 7, or 2 Corinthians 7, when it talks about when a man is single and a woman is single, they care for the things that it may please the Lord. So that means they care for the work, the ministry. Their job is strictly to ministry. And I think after Captain Kuhlman, you know, went through her first when she first got married, she was doing ministry. And I think they said for 9 years, she gave up her entire ministry for the husband she was with. And I don't know what happened, because I guess he told her she can't do ministry anymore after he got married. So for 9 years of her life, she had given up all of her ministry. She had shut everything down for the sacrifice of her husband. But she had a work inside of her to do. And so for that 9 years, she didn't do any ministry. After, I don't know what happened in terms of the divorce, what transpired. All I know is that after that, Captain Kuhlman ministry to us, but she had a mark on her from the religious world or the church world based upon her being a divorced woman. She had a mark on her. But all the ones she had the mark on her is because of her ministry. That was her biggest pain of ministry, because she was single for the rest of her life. She cared for the things of the ministry. Of course, she talked about that a little bit, being lonely as well. But her mate, especially in that time, you know, even for the white women, it was a hard place to be in, being a single woman. So she went through that. So she went through that sacrifice. A lot of times people go through these major sacrifices. See, really, I don't take this from nobody. Really, to really do great ministry, and you really heart-to-heart, it's almost like you got to be single. That's the heart-to-heart to really do the ministry. You can do it with a mate, don't get me wrong, but to really do, go from place to place, city to city, town to town, and do what you do. And it totally dedicates your life to God. That's a big sacrifice. That's a labor of love. It's a dedication. And that's why when the Church of God of Christ called women missionaries, they were watching the best knowledge that they were getting is for the church who was on the main stage at that time, and it was the Catholic Church. So these nuns and Catholic people were traveling around the world to those African continents. And it was considered mission work. So those missionaries, and this is like 1900, 1908, 1909, 20, when they saw the women working, those women, Catholic women, nuns, they were considered missionaries. So the word missionary, they had missions that they were doing for the Catholic Church in those different cities. And these were nuns who were not married. And they would do a mission work. So the Church of God of Christ took the word missionary out of that place. Because all this stuff came from Catholic and Presbyterian, because Presbyterian came out of the word protest. They were protesting what the Catholic Church was doing. Martin Luther, who had the Lutheran Church, he always a facet of people, because he disagreed with how the Catholic Church was doing things in terms of the priesthood. If we go back, but a lot of stuff is hidden. We don't know the history of some of the stuff. So So we're just following basically not God, but what other religion or religious people had done. And that's why we're in revolt now, because people are coming to the truth of what the Spirit of God is, even the glory. You know, people shouting the music up in the church and they're in the presence. They think that's glory. No, that's a presence of God. The glory is when you actually see the gold dust. The glory, you know, not laughing and cracking up in the church and all that other stuff. We create these things. I'm talking about going into the glory of God, where the very presence of God is in the building through the angel, the angelic presence is there. And you're in the glory of God. You there, raising hands. People prostrate. See, we've taken on other people way of what they call glory or the presence of God. White people deal with it a different way. Italians deal with it in a different way. Greek deal with it a different way. Blacks deal with it in a different way. European people deal with it in different ways. And then we look at how they deal with God and we say, well, they're not in the will of God. But you're not in that culture. See, that's why they had different cultures. And when we embrace God, then we embrace the culture of that man or that woman or that church that believe in Jesus Christ or believe in Yeshua or believe in the word of God, Elohim. See, you have to see the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit that we got based upon people's gifts. Those gifts in you and those callings will always be there, even if you don't do the will of God. It's a gift that God gave. The more you come into the knowledge of God, the more that gift becomes sharper in the things of God. The more you operate, you practice that gift, you become good at it. The more you do the devil meant, your gift going to still flow, but you got to save yourself while you got the gift. So these are the things that to the knowledge of the truth of God. And people don't because they're used to the religious ways and the things of how things are done. That's all I'm saying. It's a lot of things I grew up in, and I grew up in saw, and I was taught. And that stuff is, some of that stuff is entrenched into the soil of some people. And they're not going to change because it's been bred. They're a pedigree to it. When you're pedigree to something, you see, some people are pedigree. I won't say the certain organization, but they're pedigree to that. They born in, trenched in, bleed in. No matter what happened, you're pedigree to that. You got people that are pedigree. Well, you got people that are pedigree to the Church of God in Christ, pedigree to apostolic, pedigree to the Catholic Church. You can't tell them they can't carry their rosary. They'll fight you to the end for that rosary. Then you got people, you can't tell them about their bishop or the Church of God in Christ, their jurisdiction. You can't, there's people pedigree to the Apostolic Church and William Seymour. They're pedigree. So, and they're not going to change. So it becomes, then you get religion, then you get locked in. But if you open to the presence of God, that means to the truth, then when truth shows up, I'm willing to change my way. Because I want God. Truth, the word of truth comes to change you. The word of truth comes to deliver you. And I can love my brother and love my sister in the body of Christ in spite of what they feel. But then now we get into an argument about religion. Then it becomes religion. But now you ain't going to change me. I ain't going to change you. No matter what you said, dude, I'm not going to change. But then now we move from religion. We move from the love to just religion now. And that's where confusion comes in. Because we take the love of God. Our love changed towards brothers and sisters. If your love don't change, you still can love that brother who's a Catholic, a Protestant, a Presbyterian, a Jew, a Baptist. Or, you know, because Baptist came out of John the Baptist.
with John the Baptist was birthed out of being a baptizer of Jesus, a baptizer. So we took that and say they ain't saved. We can't say that. We can't say that. We can't say that because I could tell you one thing about them. They organized, they on time, they tithe, they get, and all this other stuff is out of order. I see Jesus is out of order. Some of the other stuff is out of order. Boy, man, we supposed to have all this stuff. We out of order. So we did out of order. I had to tell a lady in church, a big minister to Brian with me, I'm in a church preaching. She up there speaking in tongues. I said, oh, man, you can't be speaking. You can't be over me now. I stopped the service. I just stopped the service. And I'm sitting there trying to preach. I said, hold on. What did Paul do? He interrupted that stuff. Now, if somebody else didn't understand it, they'd be like, he interfered with the Holy Ghost. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That's out of order, lady. You are totally out of order. And people stopped. They were looking at me. Matter of fact, somebody looked at me and said, can you stop this? A lady looked at me and said, can you stop this? I said, ma'am, that's not God. I'm in here preaching. You way over me. That's not God, man. So she toned it down. She didn't stop until I say, ma'am, stop. You're out of order. Now, she feel like it's church. It ain't her. You out of order. She was totally out of order. And that's how you got people. I'm still preaching. Where is this coming from? You don't do that in the church. That ain't man. God. It ain't the Holy Ghost. I don't care what nobody say. And everybody said, and then a couple of other people look back and say, what is she doing? So, man, woman of God, stop. That's out of order. I'm trying to preach. The attention is on you. And she got quiet, feeling all bad, and then they're going to make me feel bad. I ain't feeling bad. It really was for the pastor who was supposed to walk down there and say, my daughter, or lady, or whatever. But the pastor, matter of fact, I've kind of found out, the lady wasn't even a member of the pastor church. That the pastor, that one, he don't even know what she came from. People ain't know what she came from. She heard, well, she heard, had heard about a flyer. She heard about it within town. See? Order. Paul was talking about order in the church. Having order. And people are out of order. And what he was saying about the women, these women who are out of order don't have a husband who can help them stay in order. And the men who can put them in order don't want to put them in order because they look at numbers in churches. And you have a lot of people out of order in churches because they look at numbers and people and their titles and stuff. But that stuff is out of order. You don't do that stuff out of order. That's out of order. Let me tell you something. If anything in a church, turn the attention from the leading of God in the church on a lady falling out in the church, that's okay to fall out. Don't get me wrong. But all out of order like that, that ain't God no more. If it moves from the will of God, and the will of God, and everything shifts from the preaching, that ain't God no more. Because you don't move the spirit of God out of the way for your fiasco. Or you're falling out, or you're in the spirit. No, you're out of order, sister. You ain't been trained, and you need to be retrained. And the way you've been trained from another tribe. that's about the way to put it. Because I see some people, I be watching stuff. I don't know what it's they doing. Out of order. So he was talking about being in order. And that's not popular by anybody, what I'm saying, but it's okay. All right, somebody else can come in. I'm just sharing.
Yes, it is, Dr. Red.
I've learned a lot of stuff over the years, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, now what is this? The pastor can't preach. Evangelist can't go in. So what in the world is they doing? Out of order. Just totally out of the order of God. And that's not the will of God. But then when you correct them, That's when you deal with a lot of people that talk about this church. Or do, and I, this may be a question for some of, for me, for some of everybody else. When most people deal with a church, or is it really church or rebellion? Because when you, somebody said, and I think I'm a very gentle person when it comes to church. I don't front people up unless I have to. When you try to tell them the right way, and well, I've been in here, I've been in the church for a long time, and this is the way we do it. Well, you can't go to another man's house and try to present to them what you've been used to doing. And that's another thing that's out of order with people. Here you are. Okay, I'm a holiness church. I'll put it like that. We flow in the fivefold ministry. We flow in the gift. We let the Spirit of God move in the building, and it does. But that's when it becomes dangerous, because you get a lot of people who are out of order or wounded or messed up. Love churches like mine because they feel they can come in and do what they want to do out of order. And it doesn't happen like that. Yes, when you have regular churches, well, people who still believe in fivefold but still have order, you got to be able to let the Spirit of God flow and have his way. But when he have his way, that man or that woman must know the order of God flowing. When he say, okay, well, let the people testify. Well, when you get to 30 minutes of testifying, you're out of order. You get 15, you're out of order. Because you can't give it all out of the day. Turn things to at all. Well, see, they don't want me to testify. No, sister. I timed you. You was up there 17 minutes. The woman of God said 3 to 5. You can't give that all out in a day. But because you were not allowed to preach and you were held down, you want to take advantage of your opportunity to speak. That's what it is. And when I tell people like that, well, God uses me too. Well, you have to find a church to do that. You have to find a place or create your own platform that'll give you that 45 minutes to talk and keep you rambling on. Because after a certain amount of time, you wasn't talking about the Lord no more. You went over that thing 7 times. You're talking about, now you went into hurting. You went into what people have done to you. That testifying is over. You went into all of the bondages. And if you listen to people, they go all around that, and then if you let people testify, half of the people start going around their testimony. They ain't giving their testimony no more. They're going around. If you listen to them, I said, wait a minute, hold on. That ain't testifying no more. They went into a preacher. They went into a hooper. Okay, now come on, bring them back. Bring them back. You got to hit the tap the mic. Come on back. Come on back. Come back. Because you got to bring them back. Amen. Thanks a lot today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Mother. My partner.
Amen.
My partner. Mother. All right. Go ahead. Come.
Amen. I'm patiently waiting. And I wanted to comment, amen, on Evangelist Whip and to read Ephesians, amen, where
yeah,
and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When Christ gave these gifts, amen, to edify, for the perfecting of the body, the purpose of these gifts that God gave the people was to equip others to minister. Amen.
There you go.
For to equip them to minister. Amen. And in ministry, ministry is intended, thank you, Lord,
to move the people, to move believers toward their purpose and toward their goal, because we are a city that sit on the hill. They said, the Bible says, yeah, we are the salt of the earth. And when these gifts are being perfected in the ministry, for the ministry, right, for the teaching of the body, then once they are equipped, amen, when the people that are gifted in the church, in the churches, as this happened, they're equipped to do what needs to be done, then they start, and then they take it out into the community. We take it out into the community. And the evidence of all what God has given us, amen, will be what? Produced in a community. Then that's when you say, this is a faith-based church. Amen. A five-fold ministry. Amen. It's not about, amen, okay, if you're a woman preaching. It's not about that. Because right here, God said he gave some. He didn't say who he gave it to, male or female. He gave some. Amen. And when we focus in on the outer, because it's a female, amen, that's when problems comes in. And me as a female, amen, glory to God, I ran across a lot of that. And one thing I came up with, my conclusion was, and seeing that and being faced with it and going through that, I said, Lord, these nothings are jealous. I said, they have a spirit of jealousy upon them. Amen. Because when you have submitted yourself unto God and you're doing the will of God, amen, glory to God. But then you have some, amen, that those ministries or their position, they're just handed to them. And they are not equipped, nor are they anointed. Somebody said, oh, you got a head just like a pastor. You got to be a pastor. The devil is a lie. Half of them that's up there, amen, they was not called to be preachers, but God just called them to do the will. Some of them have made themselves, amen, to be the overseer because of their male, amen, glory to God.
Yeah.
But I am encouraged. I am not intimidated, amen, because I know who I am. Because when they say your gift will make room for you, your gift will make room for you. Because it does not matter if you put me on your platform, but God has a platform for me, because, see, I'm still going to cry loud and spare not. I'm still that voice in the wilderness. Because, see, I know you have to know what's on the inside of you. You got to know that you know that, okay, this is the will of God. This is what God has called. And I can with you, even with when the president, before he stepped down, being the president of the Evangelist Department in our jurisdiction, I remember that time. And I knew God was tugging at me. And I kept hearing the call. You know, the call of evangelists. I already knew in my spirit that I was evangelist. I already knew I had that gift. I knew that. And yet, at the same time, I kept, when God said, okay, you're ready, I kept hearing the call. I kept hearing God call my name. I kept hearing God call my name. I kept being pulled to that type of work. And I remember when our jurisdiction was having an evangelist service that whole week. And after we got out of our Tuesday night Bible study, I told my husband, I said, you know what? I said, I'm feeling poor to go to this evangelist service. He said, okay, come on, let's go. And so once we got there, when I got there, and we both got there, as soon as I walked in the door, the president of the evangelist department, he grabbed me by the hand and said, you better do what God called you to do. He said, you better do what God called you to do. And he said, now you better go up there and pray for those people. I was just as shocked, but I already knew. I knew who was doing. I went up there, and I wasn't even on the program. But God had it already set up. I went up there. I started praying for those people as a mad person. I started going forth like a mad person, praying over them. And after the service was over with, he came to my husband. And he asked my husband, he said, can I use your wife on my team? He said, can I use your wife on my team? He said, I've been trying to get a hold to her for months. I said, you've been trying to get a hold to me for months? He said, yeah. He said, I've been talking to your pastor, I said, oh, I didn't know anything about that. He said, your pastor never said anything. I said, uh-uh. He said, I kept telling your pastor, he said, get that rope off of her neck and let her do the work of God. And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, oh, okay. And there was many times I was called, someone called for me to do something and wanted me to do, but they had this protocol, you go through your pastor. And I would go back and address them. And God said, God told me, he said, you're going to get a chuckle. I always got a chuckle. But it did not make me upset with them. I still kept doing the work that God gave me to do. If the door wasn't open there, God always opened up a door. Wasn't mad, amen, because I said, ain't nobody mad but the devil. But we have to continue to keep doing the work that's down on the inside of us, regardless of what gender you are. The work of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are the call. We must continue to do it. And if it's on the inside of you like a burning fire, that flame is never going to go out. It's never going to go out. But we must do that. We must do that. Amen. Glory to God. And so I am in agreement with you, Evangelist Wilk. You let the Lord continue to use you. You are a walking Bible. You have a wealth of information down on the inside of you, a wealth of wisdom down on the inside of you. God has given you numerous opportunities. You've been places a lot of people have not been yet. And God was already preparing your path. They said the step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. I've looked over your life from what you told me. I said your steps have already been ordered. And you just keep walking in that path. You keep walking in that path, amen. And the only thing what the adversary does, because he uses the people, amen. The adversary does try to put intimidation. Amen. But they the one are intimidated, see. They are intimidated of the anointing that's up on your life. That's all it is. They're intimidated because of the anointing up on your life. And I realize that. You mean the Catholics? These folks were intimidated. They had the gall to ask me to help some take this position to help that man look good. They said, well, can you take that position just to help make that man look good? You know what Mother Sidney said? I said, the only person, the only man that I'm going to make look good is my husband. And they looked at me, and I looked at them. I'm like, wow, how dare a person just to make the man look good? I said, and I said that not anybody is, you don't want anybody to be up over you. You don't want anybody to be up over you. Amen. Glory to God, watching over you. So you don't want anybody just to be up over you. Glory to God. You have to be very particular, male or female. You got to be very particular who's importing in you, who is up over you. And I'm like, God, this person's going to be up over me like a covering. I said, I said, God, you got to help me. I said, I can't do that. I said, God, I can't do that. You know, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle, and God made a way. Amen. Glory to God. He made a way. And so we have to be very careful, amen, with our anointing that God has upon our lives. Amen, because you're going to come across female even more so to come across, amen, that spirit of intimidation, amen. They just intimidated. That's all, but they shouldn't be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we just bless the Lord. I am just excited, Father.
I'm with you.
Amen, in the land. Yeah. I'm excited. A lot of people.
I am too.
More so as female that God is raising them up. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, young male and female, young women. Amen. Glory to God. Sons and daughters. Amen. He said in the last day, going to prophesy. We're living in the last day. You better get up and get out of the way because the Bible is being fulfilled. And there's nothing that they can do about it. You're either going to get in with God's program, or you're going to get trampled over. Amen. Are you going to be left behind? Let me put it this way. You're be left behind because prophecy is being fulfilled. And many just don't know what to do right now.
And that's it, Mother. Because for years people talked about, go ahead, I'm sorry, Mother.
We're no longer in
India.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And many, and see, we read Joel, the scripture where your son and daughter would prophesy, young man would dream, old man have vision. And, Apostle, some of you said something. You're talking very good there, man of God. When you talk about, we take a verse in the scripture and we don't read the other, we don't read the entire chapter, but we use a verse in that scripture and run with it. We run with that verse in the scripture. And then you got young people, and don't take me wrong, saints, when I'm saying this, because please don't. I just want to just use some clarity. You are illiterate to the Holy Bible. Anybody can tell you what the Bible says, so you can write that down. When you're illiterate to the Holy Bible, anybody can tell you what they want you to have out of that Bible. That means that you don't really know the Bible. You heard about the Bible. You heard people read verses out of the Bible. But number one, people ain't living it. They can tell you the scripture out of it, and they're going to only take you so far in it, through it. They can give you their philosophy of it. They can give you their point of view of it. They can give you what they think of it. But when you know the word of God, and I'm not saying it's infallible, it's a translation. When you understand the translation, then God will give you revelation. And after that revelation, God will give you rhema. He will reveal things to you through the word of God. He will give you the rhema. And then the rhema will come alive so you can understand what you're reading from the word of God or from that particular verse. So it becomes rhema to you. It comes off the pages. It becomes life to you. And then the rhema of God will bless you. And then you're like, man, this is the word of God. It's rhema. So God will bring the rhema word to you, and you will get the rhema of God. And then he will take you, he will give you another book. He will give you the book to understand the Hebrew and then understand the Greek. Everybody want to talk about Enoch, but when you read the book of Enoch, it's a lot of intel in there. And when it's intel, it's really talking about the spirit realm and the dimensions in the spirit realm. So you just don't read the book of Enoch literally. You got to really read it from Enoch talking to the angels, and the angels is talking to Enoch in the spirit realm to translate and move you in those spirit realms and from that place to place. So you can maneuver the kingdom of God. And so that's where you at in the Bible. And some people don't understand it to the detail, but they used to be in their family churches for years who don't tell them the detail. So you have to go to a place where you're being taught the details about that ministry. There's a lot of people that flow in the prophetic or are prophets and prophetess, but because they're not around legal right prophetess and prophetess, they know mystery, they see things, but they don't understand it. And then some religions say, well, God ain't using prophets no more. Well, there you go. The Lord ain't using apostles no more. There you go. So, you have all so many divides. But when you know God's word, even if you come up against the divide of a brother or sister in the kingdom who may disagree with you, I say it. I learned to agree to disagree. That means I agree with you, and I don't lose my love, but I disagree with that point. And we can't get past that because of ego, insecurity. I'm not going to let you change me. Even if they know they're right and they don't got the knowledge of it, we want to still play like we want to play on that we have answers to it. And that's devastating. When you feel you can't be taught anymore, you're in a devastating position in pulpit because God is more about the Lord than it's every day you learn something about God. There's more in spirit realm developing. As much as you think you know, you can know more and more and more because that's the God that we serve. Amen. All right. Thank you.
God bless you again, Doctor, and to Evangelist Sydney, to Evangelist Wilk. Prophet, you said some things so powerful. And even Mother Sydney, she kind of explained and brought it out. And what you just said, Prophet, concerning the dimensions of God that gives us the rhema, which, you know, releases the revelation. So powerful. And this is why Paul wrote a third of the New Testament, man, because Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He was revealed some things that wasn't even able to, you know, really be revealed unto man, but God revealed it to Paul. That's why he was able to write the third of the New Testament. But I want to piggyback off of, because it's so ironic, y'all, you know, got on this when you was talking about order, then you was talking about, you know, the way that the church, I guess in some of the words, functioning, where Evangelist Sydney brought it out concerning, you know, the gifts that God has gave to man when she read but over the Ephesians. Because a question came up to me on the, well, matter of fact, it was on Tuesday, I think it was, concerning the titles in the church or the positions in the church. Our older gentleman already discerned where he was coming from and what he was asking. Working on his boat, we just dialogue. I told him I like the dialogue from the word. And I said, not to debate or argue, because I said every man has his opinion in the way that he studied God's word and the way God reveals to him. Because you just can't go on the surface and just think you're going to read the scriptures and think that that's it. I said, you got to go deeper than that and so that God can reveal to you, as you just said, Prophet, by the Spirit, so you can understand by the Spirit. Many people want to try to read God's word so fleshly, from a carnal place, and think that that's why they take one scripture and run with it, not really dissecting the word line upon line and precept upon precept. And like you said, that God revealed to us. Just like I was explaining to the people yesterday how I was traveling to work yesterday morning, and I looked at the sun. The sun was like a big red orange ball sitting in the sky. It was so huge yesterday morning. And I said, God, what is that? God said, that's my creation. And he said, that is the representation of me. In so many words, it was really what he was saying to me, that was the blood, because I realized that was the sun. So by the time I got off the bridge, Prophet and Evangelist Sidney, by the time I got off the bridge and God said, look again, when I looked at the sun again, the sun was sitting high and it was bright. He said, now that's the illumination of me. That is the brightness. That is the light that gives light to men. And I said, my God. But that's just a revelation how God deal with me. He deal with me through his creation and elements. Right. But at the same time, getting back to order, title and positions, But this and probably you spoke to me because you spoke it as well. Men and women of God are speaking prophetically too, that we are in an hour of the season of acceleration. Because I look how quickly the sun went up so quickly. I saw it rising. So this is where God said we're in a season and a timing of acceleration. Because by the time I got off the bridge, the sun was already sitting up high and bright. I said, God, I just could look at the sun. Now when I get off the bridge, I can't look at it because it's so bright. But that's just a revelation. That's just me and God. But here go the point that y'all bringing out, man, because I was dialoguing with this gentleman. I know what background he's from and what part of the denomination he's part of. I didn't even have to ask him, but I knew from just him talking. So the question is, he said, where are apostles that are taking up snakes? Where are the apostles that are drinking deadly poison? And I started laughing. I ain't even answer his question. But I came back and asked him a question. I said, where's the church that Christ built and that Christ established in the earth? I said, where's that church? He couldn't even answer it. He did come out with an answer. He said he built it off his word. I said, okay. I said, well, isn't God, isn't Christ the word? I said, okay. He said, we'll talk, man. We'll dialogue. I said, okay. So I said, I'm ready to talk to you. Sit down and talk. Not to be sarcastic, but just seeing where people are on the level of faith concerning what they have been taught and what they believe, especially what Benjamin Wilt brought out and Mother Sidney brought out concerning, you know, women preachers, because we already know what was taught down through the years. But here's the question that I want to ask, Prophet, that y'all can dialogue from. Why are there many people, believers or Christians in the church world, they don't believe in the apostles and the prophets? They won't accept them, but they believe in the right reverend. They believe in the reverend. That's a title. That's a position. That's not even biblical. Come on. Now, right. Let's just dialogue from that place when you're talking about order and the way that God established his church. You accept the title reverend or right reverend, but you won't accept the title or position for a man or woman of God as an apostle or prophet. Come on, help us out there, doctor.
Well, see, that's when we go back to our culture or the culture that we came from. Instead of calling you pastor, they wouldn't call you reverend. They did it because they needed that person to reverence them because of the disrespect they were getting. So if I could make you call me Reb or reverend, that gives me power to say, okay, they're not going to disrespect me. So I'm going to be, I like it now. So they're calling me Reb. The Rev come with the reverence. Now they're going to reverence me. And they're going to put me on this pedestal. So that's what the Bible said, called what? No man the father. Well, we got major pastors and major people on platform. When a Catholic person walk in the church or they show up, the first thing they call them is Father God. Look at Chicago, Father Flavor. All of these pastors, black pastors, who we won't respect each other as a pastor. As soon as he walk in, Reverend Pastor Father Flager, see them saying? Because it's always a culture thing. And when I say a culture thing, we look at each other and we respect culture over the presence of God. And we give people titles, and we acknowledge them based upon their culture. And so you have so many people following these cultures that they came from. You can tell somebody right now. You can tell who in the Bible, I mean, how many pastors did the last seven words of Jesus and know that if you said it would roll early Sunday morning, they'll tell you, no, that's a day and a half. You preach it every year at the invitation. And they're going to whoop and yell, he rolled early Sunday morning. He died today and rose. They'll continue to do it. It's a pattern. But they know it's not the truth. He can't die Friday. He can't raise up. But they'll preach it for 10, 11 years in their arena, in the, whatever arena they're in. But they know it's not the truth. They know it's not the truth. But guess what? They'll preach it with their buddies in that arena 20 years. But when you start to change it and cuss it, it's a conflict. You know why it's a conflict? Because I can't change the culture of how we do things. I can't change the reverence of how we do things. That's what they gave us. This is what we do. So they're not going to accept truth. That's why the Bible says the word. People rather live a lie. They rather have the lie than the truth. They do. And it's a culture thing. Talk about reverence, or you talk about bishop, or you talk about the title. It's a position. Now, a lot of people know my stance as it relates to apostles, prophets, I mean apostles and bishops, good women. That's my stance. But I'm not going to fall out with my sister because of my sin. I'm not going to fall out with her. That's me. I studied the Word of God. I looked at the Word of God. I get quotes. Somebody gave me this point at that point. I even, a good sister by that, but she had an issue with that. I still love her as a sister, but I told her my opinion. I didn't. That was me. I mean, I told them what the Word of God said and what I learned. So I still love her. As a matter of fact, I called her a couple of times because, you know me, I still call people. She didn't respond, but that's okay. That's okay. Because, see, I'm mature enough to agree to disagree. And until we, as believers, learn to agree to disagree, then we're going to always have these battles, even with the reverend. I've ministered at some friends of mine's church who have the title as reverend, but I learned to acknowledge them as the pastor, as that elder of the church. But I don't disrespect who they are. That's when we lose people. It's the disrespect that we have in those areas. Hey, no, don't reverence no man. Come on, man. But they do. But it's a culture thing. It's when you surrender, when you really look at the culture, go over to Hagian Church. He ain't running around. Brother Hagin, he ain't running around getting angry because you didn't call him Pastor Hagin or Evangelist Hagin, you know, these pastors. It's only when you deal with certain culture that this becomes a issue. It really is. And thank God that if you don't move out of your own boundary and perimeter, you'll never find out that becomes almost a culture thing. It's like some people, here is the battle right now. Here's the new team to fight. Some women are calling themselves prophets. Well, I'm saying you're a prophetess, not a prophet. There's a difference between a prophet and prophetess. The prophet office is male. The prophetess is a female. So I had to debate a very arrogant sister on that one. So I don't worry about it. I said, okay. Well, that distinguishes your position and your title. So she goes, there's no male and female in the spirit. Going, well, you got to understand what Paul made that statement. God distinctly identified us from his spirit, male and female gender. So when Paul was speaking, he was giving a point. He wasn't taking gender out of it. He would let us know that the Spirit of God did with the male, the Spirit of God did with the female. We didn't got with all of this equalism. Equal. It can't be two heads in a household. It can't be two heads in a ministry. It has to be one head, and that's it. Two heads, you get a monster. Three, you get another monster. Four, you didn't just went crazy. You have to be a head in everything you do. But this world in commercial life, and we have allowed it to happen because of fear, loss of people, of gripping. So we get non-denominational. We get denominationalism. We get locked in. I think I moved away from my point of what Apostle was talking about as it relates to reverence. You know we don't supposed to be using no reverence. And reverence know that. But guess what? It makes them feel good because of the title. So we get God ain't using apostle. He only used it in the early church. Well, now we got a continent. So what did that word say in Ephesians? What did the word say over here? Well, that was for then. So what you're telling me is the Bible then, we can't use it now because it was during that time. So it'll be a conflict. Man and women of God, I promise you, in the body of people, I ain't going to say believers, in the body of people, people get stuck or hold held to their, what they call conviction or what they feel. You're not going to bend them. They're stuck. And some people got stuck to a place and they're going to remain there. Even when Gilbert Earle Patterson started pushing women in ministry, you know, because when he left the Church of God, he came back in like 86, 87, back into the actual church, the Kojic. He was an apostle. He was Apostle Gilbert Earle Patterson, so he did change apostle to bishop. So, but only the presiding bishop would be considered the chief apostle. Because you see that the chief apostle is the presiding bishop. So everybody is, so now he can be called the chief again, or the apostle. I just believe that through the grace of the Lord, we're all going to come to the revelation and to the truth outside of the dominance of the Catholic Church, Jesuit order, religion, the religious heirs, or what we call fathers of the church, to the realization of the office or the life. Really, we're dealing with an office over a lifestyle, but to that office that many people wants to be in, but really don't qualify for, longing to be there, but really don't qualify for, because they feel it's a glorified place instead of looking at the glorified life of God who I walk. Yeah.
Amen.
So, Prophet, wouldn't that make the word of God a non-effect? And we see it manifesting, not saying for all, because most of us that
have a true relationship with God and not base it upon religion or a denomination or association, but base it on our relationship with God. Allow His Spirit to teach us because He's our greatest teacher. And I thank God for it, man. I thank God for men and women of God, such as yourself, that God has placed in my life that I can glean from, get the wisdom, the knowledge, get the advice, get the wise counsel to connect to that and commit to that. But wouldn't it make the Word of God non-effect? We see the body of Christ, and I like what you, the way you put it, people instead of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, I believe, is a whole body. I believe it's structured the way that Christ established it. I believe that as individuals now, because we make up that as a church, the ecclesia, the called out one, but we come together collectively to make up the body of Christ. But wouldn't that make the Word of God non-effect? I don't believe that God stopped performing miracles, signs, and wonders. I don't believe that, because if that's the case, then God will be a, he will be a, what's that word? Because the Bible says He's no respect for person. He will be a, he would just be a God that just will look upon certain individuals in so many words. What's that, what's the terminology of that word? It makes Him, think of that word I want to use. Yeah, it's sort of like that too, partial, but it's another word I'm looking for, but I'll move on from that. But wouldn't that make the Word of God non-effect? Well, people don't see the miracles of God, supernatural healing, all of the things that they believe in God for?
I believe when the Word of God becomes non-effect, it's because people have, when the Word of God becomes non-effect to us, it's because we haven't studied the Word of God. The Word of God is not going to change. It changed as it relates to miracle signs and wonders and the demonstration of God. Now, Jesus literally had to tell the people to leave the room so He could do miracles based upon where they were at. We as believers in the Lord and believers in God, we make the Word feel like it's non-effect based upon where we are at. So people would consider, well, the Word is non-effective based upon what that teacher taught or that man or woman of God taught, or based upon what they will learn or they, that learned behavior. And so it'll make the Word of God of non-effect because of who's teaching it and releasing it to us. And so when we talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, you got people don't believe in music, period, because of the Old Testament scripture. So they, you can't bring no music in the church. You got to sing a cappella. You got to step your feet and clap your hands. That's your music. Then you have those who play music. So we have made the Word of God a non-effect because of our teaching and training in our life. The Word of God clearly in the 39 books explain Jesus never did away with law. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled the law. He did the miracles, signs, and wonders in the book of Christology, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and demonstrated himself through his work. And then his disciples did it in Luke, I believe, 10, 13, one of them, when they said we came back and did miracles. He led them straight to the Word of God. What's there? All of these things are fine, but what's important is your name being in the Lamb books of life, in the Lamb book of life. And your, and this point that you're bringing is very important, too. Many of us made the Word of God a non-effect because of how we've been taught, trained, and what we taught, trained, heard, and we and based upon that environment of the people, or the influence, that's a good word, the influence, being influenced, and we don't deviate from that. But that doesn't, that's not necessarily the case when we know the Word of God. Yeah.
Amen. I'd like to say something. Amen.
Go ahead,
praise God. Amen. This is Sister Alba. I just wanted to also comment on some of the things that I heard that was being said. It's awesome.
And as the apostle Maurice Simmons was saying, would that make the word of God of none effect? You know, people saying that God isn't doing miracles. I believe God still is doing miracles, healing. I actually saw even creative miracles I believe God's doing. But a lot of times we're not seeing it in abundance. To me, is because of people's unbelief. You know, the unbelief would make those things of none effect, you know. Jesus couldn't do many works because of the people's unbelief. So I also see that. And then also I wanted to also say that, when he was talking about the confusion in the church where the apostles, women were making so much noise, they were shouting out hollering in the church, talking about things at home, whether they were had husbands, they can go home and talk to, or whether they were single, they was just shouting out in the church. So I believe in women preachers as well. I do believe that when women get up to preach, that the Lord wants to be the one that talks through the